Mark Herman, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Hello, good afternoon. Happy Derby Day, everybody.
Yeah.
I love the Kentucky Derby.
I can tell.
I'm an expert. I'm going to prove that in the next 4 hours.
Well, if you get the race correctly today, then you are an expert on the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if that happens. This is The Beat. Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen here with you. We're broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm actually really upset that the show has interrupted this very good mac and cheese that I'm currently eating right now.
It looks delicious. I, of course, had the turf salad. It's very potent salmon on a nice bed of lettuce.
Potent salmon?
It had a nice, flavorful salmon. Great way to start a Saturday afternoon on a derby. I wanted to go upper level. Normally, you know, I wouldn't go with a fish this time of day, but just felt like a special moment in time with the derby here, Adam, because as you know, I've been a huge fan of my man, Sam.
I did not know that, actually.
The six horse.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Julius
That's
Irving.
That's what you're feeling? And my man, Sam.
My man, Sam, in the 1983 Philadelphia 76ers, one of the most underrated teams in NBA history. That's why I'm going with my man, Sam, whose sire, Trap Shot, also had a great run when Trap Shot was at the pinnacle of her game. So,
Where did you read this 5 minutes ago?
I read this at GetToKnowAll20HorsesInTheKentuckyDerby.com, also courtesy of the USA Today. Owners Sheep Pond Partners in the Newport Stables and Jay Bly, trainer Chad Brown, jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. You got to love a junior. And he's 1-2-0 in his four starts, so I like a guy that doesn't exactly come out of the gate strong, but then the doubters just pile up, and that's what I'm feeling right now with my guy. What did I call him? My man, Sam.
You couldn't remember the guy's name. Got it.
Yeah. Are you with me?
No, I'm not at all. I'm not. I hope our listeners are, and we're very happy that you're listening to The Beat today. If you're around Chicago right now, you're trying to figure out where you're going to watch the Kentucky Derby today. This is the place you need to come. We're at Howls and Hood, downtown, inside Tribune Tower. We didn't have to go far today, Mark Carmen, to get to this fine remote we're on. And we got a lot going on here at Howls and Hood because this is Chicago's Derby Party. Get a load of these contests that are I mean, if you're coming here, you better bring your A game.
We're looking to give away a lot of fine goodies today.
Well, there are prizes that will be given away in-house here at Howls and Hood for most dapper.
I won't be winning that.
I just saw my father walk in. He won't be winning that either.
Papa Hogue is not in contention for that, no.
He's got a nice gray sweater on, and that's it. So
I love that every time I see your dad, he's exactly the same. I mean, he is not there. If it was a wedding, I feel like he'd be wearing the same sweatshirt.
Nah, that's when he puts a suit on.
He would dial it up for your wedding. He dressed up nice?
Yes, he did, especially for mine. But most dapper, you will win a Lagunitas beer tour. That sounds amazing. It includes a tour, beer, 50% off food, and an employee discount at the swag shop.
Well, that's – I could use some of that. I need some swag.
Also, right when we walked in here today, immediately saw four of the best-looking hats I've ever seen in my life.
And four of the best-looking women. There's a lot of attractive women here. If you're a guy and you're single, I think this is not a bad spot for you to be.
Not on a nice Saturday like this here in Chicago. We will be giving away a one-night stay, a complimentary one-night stay at the Sheraton Grand Chicago on the club floor. That is to the best hat. So if you got a cool hat, come down here to Howls and Hood. You got a chance to win that. We also have tickets to the Mercury Theater Chicago and a bunch of tickets to Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field later this summer.
That's going to be an awesome match. And Bayern Munich, I was actually paying attention to them earlier in the week. They had a big W. I'm getting more and more into my English Premier League, Adam Hogue. Yes, don't box me in.
So you got into it this week after the champion was crowned last weekend?
I work with a bunch of yahoos during the week who absolutely love the soccer, and they wear the jerseys and the whole thing. What's the main team over there that everybody loves?
Manchester United?
Not Manchester United. Liverpool. They love Liverpool. Love Liverpool. They're big Liverpool fans. So
what's the big team over there? I'm pretty sure over there every team is loved.
Yes.
At a ridiculous level.
I didn't mean to speak slightly unintelligently about the EPL because I know there's the fans for the EPL are extremely passionate. Hey, I didn't see you yesterday, Adam Hoge. I was at both Wrigley Field.
No, you didn't.
And U.S. Cellular.
I actually had Sox tickets yesterday. Those three people over there right here in Howells and Hood were sitting at the game last night. I was not there.
Your family went and you didn't?
No.
That doesn't seem like something you would normally do. Your family goes, you go.
Well, the in-laws are in town. We had a nice evening in downtown Chicago.
Okay.
I saw Dusty Baker over at RPM Steak last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you say hi?
No. I don't think Dusty Baker has any idea who I am.
It's because you just brought up Dusty, my dander just got raised to drop. People who don't like Dusty, and I wouldn't call him the best manager of all time, but let's just remember for a second with Dusty being in town and the Cubs playing the Nationals and the Cubs being the greatest team ever. Do you know how many games the Cubs are on pace to win?
1,000.
Close. 127, which is right there. 127 games.
I don't think they're going to keep that up.
127 and 35.
They're pretty good.
They might beat it. I think they could get to 130, and Arrieta's going to finish 34-0. But Dusty was a good man. He was entertaining. He won a playoff series here, which hadn't happened since 1908, and it happened last year being the Cardinals. So the Dusty, hey, when Dusty comes out of the dugout of Wrigley and they're booing him, it bothers me. Don't boo Dusty. There's a lot
they
of
they booed him yesterday?
Yes, they the Dusty. It's like, no. Just easy on the dust. The dust.
The easy on the dust.
Just give Dusty. There's no need for hating on Dusty.
We got a lot to get to today. Rokan's going to be here with his whole crew.
Yes.
From 4 to 6. We'll hear from Ro. He'll be here. So you get a chance to hang out with him, Kevin Powell, the whole show, Jimmy Pilak, everybody's here.
Yeah, we're gonna have them all on it individually and see what they know about the horses. Because we know that Ro is the expert, very much deep involved in the game. But I'm very interested, and I hope she's listening right now, in what Judy Pilak can bring to the table as far as the Derby goes. Because people are saying that Judy knows nothing, and I don't believe that. I think Judy's very strong on the horses.
She's kind of a hustler with the horses? Is that what you're saying?
Just kind of like a
she
nose.
Pretends like she doesn't
she's
know?
Like a, she's a very intelligent, knows-all type of person.
Okay.
You know?
Before we get to the Derby and all these horses that we have to talk about,
Amy,
you're apparently going to break down 20 of these horses.
I've got everybody broken.
No, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh.
And I think I represent maybe 33% of the city.
Okay.
When I do this. But let's rewind about 24 hours ago as we were discussing over text messages what we were going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from Mark Carmen on my phone right now. We're up against the Cubs, so no baseball till the last hour on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you forget that there's a second team in this town?
Yes.
That doesn't play till tonight?
I didn't. No, actually, I didn't forget. I did not forget.
It kind of sounds like you forgot.
Well, and we can, by the way, I'll defend myself right
because
now.
Because they don't play until 6 o'clock tonight, the Chicago White Sox. Your first place Chicago White Sox.
312-981-7200. Informal poll right here on the beat. Do you want to hear White Sox talk on this show? Because Adam's a diehard fan, and we're going to do it. But my contention, I think, at the end of the day, is that White Sox talk, we're not quite there yet.
We're not quite there yet?
No, there was a team in town that is the best team that's ever played anything at 22-6. And there was, hey, it was a passionate U.S. Cellular Field last night. I mean, I walked in, Jose Abreu was getting beamed, both the Twins and the White Sox are on the field, crowd standing. Now, there's no one in the upper deck, but hey, that's, you know, it's
well,
okay.
You covered both games yesterday.
I did.
Which one was more eventful? Which one had more of the storylines last night?
Cubs is more eventful right now. Ben's over sitting a couple bombs.
The bench is cleared on the south side.
Oh, please. They all came out and shook hands and looked at each other, and they walked back in the dugout. Nothing went on.
By the way, you were there. Why did Jose Abreu apologize?
I'm not exactly sure the whole Jose Abreu apology. Like, we're all around Jose Abreu in the clubhouse after the game, and actually I have the audio. We can play it coming back here. And
he got drilled. Why is he apologizing?
Well, I don't know. But he was very happy that everybody on the White Sox came running out for him and that they're all a big family. The White Sox are a big family. Remember when they weren't a family?
Right.
Adam and Drake LaRoche?
Well, they're not as much of a family. If Drake LaRoche was still around, then they'd really be a fan.
Not a great family. Still, but an evolving family, a family with problems that's working through things. We can all relate. The White Sox are really society. The White Sox are society. How's that?
You're unbelievable. 312-981-7200. I think George is on the line and has an answer to your question.
Is George going to disagree with me or is he with me?
I don't know. George? Hey, George.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi, good. George.
Okay, so about the White Sox talk. Mm-hmm. I'm a Southsider at heart. I'm a White Sox fan. I have been my entire life. I used to hate the Cubs, and I despise a drunk Cubs fan more than the next person. But I really enjoy hearing Cubs news. I think they deserve a win. I think they're an amazing team. I'll never take away what the good things they're doing as much as I'm a Sox fan. But, I want to hear 50-50 Cubs and Sox. I mean, I don't mind hearing about the other team. You know, I mean, there's a fan base out there. There are more Cubs fans in Chicago than Sox fans, as far as I'm concerned. So why not? You know, I want to hear equal news. Cubs, Sox, just keep it 50-50 across the board.
All right.
Thank you, George. I think that's very very fair. We appreciate you.
That was an honest,
so to be
well-balanced call by George.
50-50. Yep. So not, oh, the Cubs are playing, so we can't talk any baseball whatsoever.
You're really bothered by this, aren't you? You're very upset at me.
Well,
you kind of actually want to.
You are kind of the problem.
I'm still working on my salad. Thank you very much. It's delicious, by the way. Outstanding. I recommend it. Come get the salmon at Howls and Hood.
The potent salmon, as you put it, I think.
Yes, a powerful potency of salmon. Yes, continue.
All I'm saying is you represent the problem in this town.
Oh, my. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do we have anybody on the line that agrees with me? Is there anybody on there? You can see the phone line. I can't. Because I want to talk to him.
Well, let's check with Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, you're on 720 WGM.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Mark, you remember going off to Matt Latos last night after a game show?
Did you like that, Mike, when you were sitting at home on your TV and then all of a sudden At the Carm disappeared on your television set?
I had to rewind that three times just to look and look. And you not even looking up at him and realizing what the hell was going on. It was priceless. It was priceless.
Now, hold on a second, Mike. Let me defend myself for a second there. I had a little bit of an issue with the recorder. My mechanical talents, as you probably, if you've listened to the show, you probably wouldn't be surprised that I'm not the most technologically suave guy. And I wasn't sure I was getting the audio. That's all. I had tremendous respect for Matt Latos.
Right, right. And he did it, obviously, for you, because he just looked at you like, brother, get that microphone off my shoulder.
Yeah, it was almost like a Ted Cruz to his wife Melvin when did you see that earlier in the week?
Yeah, with the little elbow. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Mike. See, I think
so. You whacked Matt Latos last night with the microphone.
No, but I wasn't. I think I didn't have any batteries last night, so I had to go. I stopped at CVS on my own dime, and since it was on my own dime, I went for the lower level battery. And apparently when you buy a lower-level battery, it matters because I had the thing cranked, and I was getting barely anything. So
they really want to take that salad.
I know. Please don't take my salad.
We're just trying to get to a break so then Mark Carmen can finish his salad.
So I was worried I wasn't getting Matt Latos, and I think while I was doing that, I think the microphone had – I maybe had poor mic placement.
Poor mic placement. Yeah.
I apologize to Matt Latos, the Chicago White Sox, and anybody else that I might have slightly.
So you're apologizing for that, but not for just completely eliminating them from the show today because the Cubs are playing. You're not apologizing for that?
No.
Okay.
But I'm going to grant you that you're right and I'm wrong. Okay. I'm not apologizing, but I'm going to say you're right. How's that?
All right. It's Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen. This is The Beat, and we are live at Chicago's Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. This is 720 WGN.
Zobrist, walk a homer, two runs today. And he drives one to right again. Harper back to the wall. Three-run homer. What a series Ben Zobrist is putting together.
He's got some defensive changes.
Abreu with an offensive swing on 1-0. He leaves the ball yard 5-1.
Time for our North Side, South Side report, sponsored by Vienna Beef. That is North and South Side, Mark Carmen.
Highlights courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. Len Casper, Steve Stone, Jason Benetti, all on the call there, Cubs and Sox. Benetti is really growing on me.
Yeah?
That guy is smart.
He knows his baseball. He knows his White Sox.
He's got a nice pace to his broadcast. Benetti is the type of guy that just was sitting in class and got everything right.
Well, I'm enjoying the two broadcasts more than I thought I would. I mean, I knew I was going to like Jason, but the Hawk thing's kind of been falling out of favor a little bit. But now that it's only half the time.
So you miss Hawk.
I don't know if I miss Hawk, but when he's back for the road trips, I'm going, okay, I can handle Hawk. Does that make sense?
I love Hawk. I guess I think it does make sense. And I think people that dislike Hawk or, like, get over-Hawked, I think, where you were at, perhaps.
Maybe. Like, if I think a Hawk was gone completely, then I would miss Hawk.
Woof. Judy Pilot just walked in.
Judy, I don't know if she's eligible to win these prizes. Probably not. But right now, she would be the leader in the clubhouse.
Judy is wearing a pink hat. A pink, what is that, a sachet? What is that, Adam? What do you?
All I know is I don't think you're just supposed to describe the hat as a pink hat.
I'm not?
What am I
supposed to call it? Hi, Judy.
She can't put the headphones on her head because of the hat.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Judy.
Judy, you look beautiful.
Thank you. I do, don't I? Adam, are you laughing at me? You better not be.
Judy, what do you call that? What I just called your hat? Is that a doff the chapeau? What do you call that
It's
thing?
A hat.
It's a hat.
It's a hat. It's a pink hat. It's actually Kim Gordon. She loaned it to me.
Being that
she's a Kentucky girl, she's been to many derbies.
You've got a pink hat. You've got pink lipstick. You've got pink. What did you call this? You got pink nails, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is just like a wrap.
A wrap.
It's a glittery pink wrap.
Glittery.
Okay. It looks good.
Are you trying to attract attention?
Not at all.
Attract
attention?
But you
know me. Everywhere I go in my wake.
We do.
Destruction
we do.
And, yeah.
How would you evaluate Mark Carmen's outfit?
Mark always looks good.
Oh,
it's a little lazy, though, isn't it?
Easy.
Lazy, no. I wouldn't say lazy. It's purple.
He just put his colorful shirt on.
I looked in my closet and said, what's the most colorful
Maybe
shirt
ran
I
an iron over it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's derby-ish.
Has not been ironed. Not a chance.
Derby-ish. I like that.
Derby-ish.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Derby-ish. Perfect way to describe it.
I didn't have a Kim Gordon in my arsenal where I could just drop, I have a hat dropped on me.
You wouldn't believe the box this came in. It was actually nicer than the hat.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Kim Gordon's like high-level stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's not.
She does it right. Yeah.
She's not playing around. Judy, who do you like in the race today? We were going to have we were gonna have your own segment, by the way, later, but since you just so skillfully interrupted our show,
I walked in and comes to a standstill.
Well,
you know how that goes.
You walked in and you stood right in front of us and posed, let's be honest.
So I always do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with, sudden breaking news.
Ooh.
Right? How can I not?
No, you kind of have to.
I don't even think that horse is anywhere in the top.
What do you know about?
Right?
I feel like all the money on sudden breaking news is coming from journalists, news reporters, and that's all I got.
What do you know about sudden breaking news, Judy? I've got sudden breaking news's bio in front of me.
I know
right
it's
now.
Like a breakaway horse. Breaking, get it?
Yes, that's
right.
True.
It's
okay.
Won a couple of
very
races.
Sudden. Very sudden horse.
What do you think about the jockey, Luis Quiñones, who used to play second base for the Cubs in the 80s?
He's spectacular. I mean, you talk about an all-around athlete, right?
Yes. I didn't know that you could go from second base middle infielder to the Cubs. If you remember Adam Hogue, back when Sean Dunston and Ryan Sandberg both got injured, I believe in the 1987 season, the Cubs had to go to Paul Noche and Luis Quiñones as their backups, and now Quiñones is running sudden breaking news.
How tall is he?
He is not very tall.
Was he the shortest second baseman in the history of
He was
Major
the shortest
League Baseball?
And the lightest.
And the lightest.
I mean, traditionally, what are jockeys like?
5'1". Let's
yeah. No, that's yeah. a perfect height,
Somewhere
if you ask
there.
Me.
We got to take a break, though, so we
do?
Can get to the news.
Okay, and Amy
on time, which is something that Judy is very
so
passionate about.
So you can get
about.
To the sudden breaking news. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Amy Guth's going to join us after 3:30, but we're also going to talk with Doug Nackman. So, Amy, you're actually early, but we see you, and you look fantastic,
she can
too.
Join us for the conversation.
Oh, great. She can talk to Doug. Awesome.
All right.
Doug Knackman, by the way, we should promote this real fast. I know we got to go. Doug Knackman only picks long shots. So if you do want to put a couple dollars on somebody out of the money today who could pay off big, you want to stay tuned. And Knackman has hit many times. So this is actually a very important guest coming out of 3:30 News. It's potential that could pay off big.
Now, are you guys taking the bets here?
Yes.
All right.
That might be illegal, but we'll figure something
out. We're taking them, and we're not necessarily paying out. It's 720 WGN.
The Beat.
Riker, the leader, cocked and loaded. Nyquist tries to join them. Swipe out in the center of the track. Exaggerator back toward the inside. Nyquist keeps striding forward in the final furlong. He has taken the lead. Swipe moves up behind him toward the outside. Late run from Brody's Cause, but still fifth. It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it. Swipe was home second. Brody's Cause rallied up for third on the outside. Exaggerator was home fourth.
720 WGN, this is The Beat. Come out and see us. It's our derby party. We are live at Howells and Hood right next to the Tribune Tower, 435 North Michigan. The Rokon Show will be here 4 to 6 as well, having their own party. We'll have Ro on the show. Right now, though, I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. We're going to bring in our handicapping expert, one of them. We're having a bunch for you today as we try to make you a couple dollars. Doug Knackman, DougKnackman.com. This man is at the Derby, as you can tell, and he only plays the long shots. He's here to make you money, make you big money. Doug, thanks for taking a couple minutes on 720 WGN.
It's great to be here.
What are we thinking here, Doug?
I'm always looking. You can't be coming from the clouds. You want to have outside tactical speed. The two horses I'm down to are More Spirit and Moheyman. I'm leaning towards More Spirit, and I'm going to play him with a bunch of horses: Mo Tom, Tom's Ready, Nyquist, Moheyman, Outwork, and Danzig Candy.
Okay, hold on a second. You're picking More Spirit. Where is he at now? 12-1 on the board to start the day. Where's he at now?
Yeah, there's still about 2 hours before the race. My guess is you'll be about 16-18-1.
16-18-1.
And More Spirit is the Bob Baffert horse who's teaming up with Gary Stevens, correct? Maybe. Well, we'll see if it's Gary's last Derby or not. I guess it's not.
Yeah, I mean he's not riding real well, to tell you the truth. He's starting to show his age just a little bit, even though he's a Hall of Fame rider. But hopefully he can gather up enough energy to make a good finish today.
So you're not going to be shocked, Doug, if Nyquist is not our winner today? Am I hearing that right?
No. He could win. He's 7-for-7. His buyer figures are low. His speed figures are low. So he'll probably be a good price at 7-to-2, 4-to-1. If you compare his chances to like a Sudden Breaking News or a Creator, the horses I don't like that are going to be 12-to-1, I'd much rather bet, Nyquist at that price than those two.
Interesting.
How's the I know there was a little bit of a chance of rain today. Is that going to hold off for the race?
I think it's supposed to be rain later on this evening. Track right now is fine. The weather's fine. It's a tremendous amount of people here. Very, very crowded. Like all derbies, probably 165,000 people here.
Doug Knackman, DougKnackman.com. Okay, before you go, Doug, give me the numbers here for somebody driving around in their car who's about to pull over and they want to write them down. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick note. Danzig Candy, the 20, is probably going to lead the first mile and will be a big price. So if you want to take a little flyer on that horse, there's nothing wrong with that. But the numbers are going to be the 17, which is More Spirit, with Mo Tom, Tom's Ready, Nyquist, Moheyman, Outwork, and Danzig Candy.
Okay.
All right. Doug?
Got it?
I got it. And I feel like my life is about to change.
Have a great day. I hope it does.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate you as always. To give Doug a little bit of props.
Yes.
Back when I was interning at WGN in 2008.
Was that one of his biggest hits? Who was that one?
You and Cap were out at some OTB here in Chicago doing a live show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was interning at the time. I came by. Doug Knackman was on the show, gave out an exacta, long shot exacta right at the end. I walked to the window. I put $5 down. It won $800.
Are you serious?
Yes. So I call.
That's unbelievable.
I call Cap because I knew he had played it too. He goes, yeah, but I had $10 down on it.
Well, at least he had something on it, but yes.
But that's $1,600.
Yeah.
Just like that. So Doug Nachman knows what he's talking. Now, he plays a long shot, so there's a good chance. I think there's a decent chance he's not going to be correct, but if he hits, he hits big. And that's how he works. That's how he operates.
Right. Well, he's playing the odds. Like, okay, I'm going to bet a ton of dough on this 2-to-1 shot. That's not going to make me a – but, you know, he's balancing the money with his Doug Nachman formula, which only Doug Nachman can understand, and that's why we had him on the show for you.
Here's what we'll do. We should we'll pull that audio from Doug Nachman and bring it back at some point just to – because he kind of went through those picks quickly, and if you're driving around, you probably weren't able to write those numbers
down. He was putting so the 17 horse with Mo Tom – and some other ones.
Yeah, and like five other guys.
Yeah.
So we'll get those for you at some point. Another person who knows about the horses.
She's very focused right now. I can just see her taking copious notes, and she's going to join us right after a quick timeout here. Amy Guth, of course, your Saturday night special and your Saturday business lunch, but she also knows the Kentucky Derby, loves the horses. I never really knew that Amy Guth was – had this in her arsenal.
Yeah, we learned this a few weeks ago during Crosstalk with her because Amy's on after us every Saturday.
Shockingly, I forgot. By the way, Judy Pilek is just taking selfies right now.
Well, she's got to document that great hat she's wearing.
She's just sitting
in it. You can't wear that hat without taking advantage of it with countless selfies.
I just reporting back to any upper management that's listening. It's just that if they're wondering, she's sitting at a table by herself taking selfies. That's what's happening. That is outstanding.
The rest of the Rokan show, not here yet.
No, but Judy's always early.
But they will be here. They're supposed to be here at 4 o'clock. So come by. We're at Howls and Hood. It's the greatest 2 minutes in sports, and we're broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, where you can try a double row 7. I still need to figure out what that is, and I promise I will try it by the end of the show. But there's a drink called the double row 7.
And a Kentucky Mule. All right, we're getting another expert in for you. We're making you dough. I think Amy's very confident we're going to do that next. 720 WGN.
The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood. There never was a horse like the Tennessee stud. Drifted on down into no man's land.
720 WGN, a little Johnny Cash for you. Rokan has entered the building and looks very, very smooth. Don't mess with Rokan today.
Do you feel underdressed now?
No. This is where I go.
I Judy described it perfectly, though. You are derby-ish. You are dressed derby-ish.
I've got my own flair.
Yes, you do.
And I feel good about it. Amy Guth is with us.
Yes.
Who also has her own flair. Before we get into the horses, I know you have lots of thoughts on how to properly adorn yourself with a derby hat. Can you break that down for us?
You know, if I didn't have like a lot of shows to do today, I would have brought my hat for you. I have a very large hat. It's the hat that I wear every year because I normally go to the Derby. And what I do is I add something to the hat based on my win. So I really like to study the horses. I really like to study all that they're doing and really, really geek out on doing that kind of thing. But what I do when I win, I add a very, very big feather if it's a big win.
So is this just for the Derby or any win at any point?
Just for the Derby.
This is just your Derby hat.
Yeah, that's okay. Just the Derby hat. I mean, you wear it all day. You sit out there and you hold court, you know. But based on the size of my win and how I feel about that victory is what I put on my hat. So I have some very, very big feathers on that hat. I have some smaller flowers for some smaller victories. But nonetheless, victories are celebrated on the hat.
Well, you always have like a certain style that you're every day. It could be something different today. I don't know what this is, but it's like a summery Amy Guth Saturday.
It's radio host chic is what I call it.
There we go. So before you break down the horses here. Yeah. I'd like you to give your credentials out again because a lot of people are like, well, what does she know? By the way, I would say that for a man, too. What does he know about the horses? Because any diehard, they want to know, why would I be wagering my own dollars on something you're about to say? Can you give your qualifications?
Well, I've gone to the Derby every year except for this year. This is the first year.
Wow.
I haven't been
That's
in a very long
impressive.
Time. And I've never done the infield thing. I've kind of walked through there and seen that maze of nonsense. But I like to sit in the stands because I really like to study the horses. I used to coach runners, and I apply those principles to the horses because you have to look at not only their sire, but you have to look at when was the last – what was the date of the race that they ran last really well? Because you can only do so many races well in a certain amount of time. You can't do that same race. You can't ask that of a body, you know, a human or a horse, you know, more, you know, too often. So there's that. You have to look at a lot of things, not only who their trainer is, who the sire is, who that. You have to look at some horses perform really well in different kinds of weather. There's mudders, there's turf, there's artificial turf, there's all this. And it's really, really interesting. And it's kind of like the place where I really geek out in sports the most is on reading a racing form.
I always like to find a long shot that ran well, even if it was like a year or two ago, ran well at that specific track.
Ooh, okay. So
and usually at that distance, too. That distance, that track. So if I go back and see, okay, this horse ran well at Churchill Downs a year ago, it was the same exact distance as this race, except, okay, since then he hasn't been that good. He's came in fourth, fifth, whatever. And maybe you just stumble upon one there.
And since it's radio and you can't see the reaction, Amy Guth kind of just looked at you like, that's not a way to go about
it
at all.
Didn't like my strategy.
Yeah, you weren't feeling that at all. Because, I mean, I would say, how does the horse know what track he was at and how far it was?
Well, I think we don't give enough credit to what horses remember, because if they have a bad experience, you know, we know if we run a race, we wake up the next day and we're sore. We're going to say, okay, in a couple days, this is going to wear off. I'm going to sit in the hot tub, or I'm going to put ice on this. It's going to be fine. The horse doesn't know that. So the horse just associates certain things and certain smells and senses and with that experience and knows that this horse ran this kind of race, had this positive or negative experience at this track. So sometimes that strategy really backfires.
See, that's kind of like when Michael Jordan broke his foot at Golden State, and then for a long time he could never play at what is now Oracle Arena.
You have this mental block.
Like
how I brought exactly that.
You like how I brought that back around there, Hope?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the greatest player of all time.
Well, if I could bring him into this
comparing it to a horse.
That's true.
We just put him in horse form. Well, is that what we did?
It's an anniversary day for Michael. We'll get to that later in the show. So who do you like today, Amy?
Well, you know, you mentioned a good long shot, and that's what you like. You like kind of the underdog horse. I think that's More Spirit.
Ooh.
That's a horse that he's not getting a lot of. He's kept a very low profile, but he's a really strong horse. I mean, we're talking about a lot of starts throughout his career, but he's always done pretty well. I mean, he never finishes worse than second. He's a good horse, but not a lot of people are talking about that horse.
Yeah.
So that's like a really good long shot horse. I like Nyquist. Everybody likes Nyquist. The odds are not great on that horse, but he's a pace setter, so he has the potential to really kind of set the tone for the whole race based on what he does, and we see that from that horse. But you know what? He's a great distance horse, right? I mean, he's just like a good, strong athlete, that horse. So that's an interesting pick, too. I think a lot of people are going with that. I think Oscar nominated is really, really interesting because the odds are crazy. There's crazy, crazy odds on that horse, right? What's interesting, though, is that we've seen him perform really well on turf, both artificial and natural turf. And so he seems to do really well on both. But we also have to take into account that Joy Kitten is his sire there. So he tends to pace really forward. He's kind of like this impatient horse. So we have to, you know, we have to see what he does.
Well, see,
we said, Amy knows what she's talking about.
Right.
If you didn't know that already, you just got proof right there.
Well, see, in the way that I break this down, I mean, Oscar nominated, Kitten's Joy, the sire.
Just to warn our listeners, this is not going to sound nearly as sophisticated as how Amy just described her thing.
Perhaps.
Go ahead.
Perhaps not, but very
real. No, go ahead.
I'm allergic to cats. Don't want to go with a kitten. I do like the fact that the trainer for Oscar nominated is Mike Maker. I do enjoy a Maker's mark. Perhaps might have one before I leave Howells and Hood today.
I really love when people apply bracket math and bracket logic to picking horses. I mean, I've done it. Sometimes I'm like, I just feel good about that horse.
Right.
Like, I just feel, you know.
Got feeling.
Like,
emotional
attachment. I have a feeling about that horse.
But More Spirit, I like that because I like the concept of More Spirit. I think we all should be more joyful in our lives.
Same horse that Doug Nackman just gave us.
And
right.
We also, you know, it's cool when an underdog wins because those are always like, that's an amazing story. The crowd goes nuts. That's a really cool experience. I think got a couple other horses to keep an eye on. Sudden Breaking News. Mm-hmm. This is a real closer of a horse, and he really likes to kind of hang back and see what's happening and then kind of haul. He passes a lot of horses pretty late in the game. And then Exaggerator. He's kind of this, like, stays in it, and then he gets impatient, and he doesn't want to sit on it. He'll just go. So that's an interesting horse, too, that could really be a contender, as we see, you know, because he kind of, like, he and Sudden Breaking News both kind of get fed up, and they're just like, let's just go, let's just do this, and they'll just kind of like haul at the end and can make for a really interesting close.
So Dancing Candy is kind of considered the speed horse, correct, and maybe get out front, but I found it interesting that he drew the far post.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to cut across a lot of traffic if he's really going to get out in front.
We've got to step it up.
But what's interesting about this, so for Nyquist, I think the only downside from just listening to some interviews that his trainer, Doug O'Neill, did. Doug O'Neill's the trainer, right, for Nyquist? He said that the only downside of their draw was that the speed is to the outside.
Right.
So he's going to have to maybe pull back a little bit, let that speed go out front, instead of just going at the pace that they were hoping to be able to right out of the gate.
Yeah, but yet that's a horse who can really, I mean, this is a marathoner, not a sprinter, that horse, right?
Yeah.
So he can really handle that. I think Creator is kind of interesting. I mean, it took him a long time to get on board, right, and to get really start placing anywhere. But he is a horse that kind of doesn't mind hanging back in the dust cloud and then suddenly breaking out. He can kind of go incognito and chill and get his breath and get going and then kind of haul out of that dust cloud. So that's an interesting horse to watch too.
Okay, Amy, as we wrap up here, and by the way, you'll be back here for Crosstalk at 7 o'clock. If you have, you can only put the Amy Guth fortune on one horse today. You can't box it, can't do anything.
Yeah.
And...
one place or show, no exotic. See, that's I'm a complicated gambler. I don't go up with just one. I go.
You got to
play
the exotics.
I've got all these like, okay, I need this to win place or show. I need an exacta box here, a trifecta box here. I need a wheel here. I do lots of weird stuff there.
I really want to go to the Kentucky Derby with you someday. So, but just play my game for me. Who's winning the race?
You know, I'm gonna have to say Oscar because I think the odds are so interesting. That would just be a really cool race just to see that. You know, 51 odds. That's pretty cool. That would be really cool to see that.
Oscar nominated.
Oscar nominated, the seven horse. I can tell you all about Oscar nominated in a matter of moments as I pull it up here.
Yeah, as soon as
Mike Maker again. He started off at 50-1, Amy. That's that's a bold
right.
play.
Why I like it, because I think they would just be such an interesting, I mean, that would be huge. People would make money off that, and it would just be a fascinating story to watch play out in Louisville.
All right. The seven horse. You heard it here first.
Oscar nominated.
We're going to celebrate your victory right after 6 o'clock or so.
Here's hoping.
That's right.
Nyquist is going by like 10 lengths.
Nyquist by 10. Adam Hogue.
I have no idea.
The favorite.
All right.
I'm just rooting. I'm really getting into the 17. I love our guy. At first, I was into Shag after 16.
You can't even remember his name, right?
More Spirit. Okay. Love More Spirit.
More Spirit.
Well,
More
that, see, I, that's kind of that's where I'm torn. I'm torn on that horse too because I think that's I love by nature love the underdog story.
I like Gary Stevens.
Yeah.
He's jockey. So, Amy, thanks so much.
Glad
we'll
to be
talk
here.
To you again at 7 o'clock.
For sure.
We'll see if
we'll know the horse's
fate
by then.
Then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It could be exciting crosstalk today. All right, we're broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Come join us here. Starting to heat up, and these outfits are starting to get pretty impressive, too. Look at that hat.
Got another handicapper coming up right after the 4 o'clock news. There's a lot of hats walking around her. Violetta Padromedic just came in. She's got a hat. Judy's got a hat. Rose got a suit. I've got a shirt. You've got a whole get-up over there.
720 WGN.
Here comes Exaggerator, mounting a mighty bid around the outside as they turn for home in the million-dollar Santa Anita Derby, and Exaggerator has gone straight past them like they were tied to the rail. At the eighth pole, Exaggerator five lengths over Uncle Lino, More Spirit, and Dancing Candy. But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby over More Spirit, Uncle
I love horse racing calls.
If I could recraft my broadcasting career.
Just start over?
Yes, I think I might just hang out at a track and learn the Phil George F lifestyle and just call it. I mean, all day long, just one after another. I mean, you're just in the moment all day long.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, it is the greatest 2 minutes in sports, and we are broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, where you can try a Double Row 7. I still need to figure out what that is. I'm going to figure it out, I promise.
I see some drinks flying. They're not flying our way quite yet, but I will at some point have the Double Row 7.
Got it. Got to have it. Our friends from Children's Oncology Services are also here, by the way. One Step Camp, a great program. So if you come by here at Howls and Hood, you can also help kids with cancer. And they have a raffle going on. It's really cool. I was just back there, Carm. They have jars set up for each horse. So you put your raffle tickets in
The
jar of the horse you think is going to win. And then the winners of the raffle will be chosen from that jar of whichever horse actually wins the Kentucky Derby today.
Yet another strategy. If you go with a long shot, you might be the only raffle in that jar, and then you could have the big
great
moment
point.
In time, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a whole...
Because Nyquist, the favorite, probably is going to have more tickets in there.
Right, right. I'm an expert, as I've pointed out from the start of the show today.
I didn't think about it that way.
Did you already put your raffle in?
I have not done it yet.
Do you have a raffle?
No, because I don't think I'm allowed to win. But maybe I'll just put a ticket in there anyway just because I want to.
I mean, you have your sister here, your dad here, your sister's fiancé here. One of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you can make something happen. I will turn my head the other way, just so you know.
Okay. And by the way, we're giving away prizes for Most Dapper. So come here, Dress to Impress, Lagunitas Beer Tour is the prize for that, and Best Hat. Complimentary one-night stay at the Sheraton Grand Chicago on the club floor. All right. Let's bring in Todd Furman, our old friend from Las Vegas.
Fox Sports 1 contributor, Sportsline.com as well, Mr. Horses and Mr. Money. Hi, Todd.
How are you, boys? And serious question, though, before we get into breaking down the Derby. Had a debate yesterday with some buddies. Harder sport to try and do play-by-play, calling the Derby or calling an NHL playoff game?
Ooh.
Both high level of skill.
I'm going to say hockey because it's longer. You got to do that for 3 hours straight. And sometimes in the playoffs for triple overtimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you had to call the game like Chris Colbert the other night between San Jose and Nashville, imagine it really tests those pipes for the better part of 3+ overtimes.
But horse racing is not easy because it's, I mean, you gotta really study the silks to know, to be able to see the horses, what's going on in the backstretch, and understand the sport and each horse. I mean, you really have to do your homework to understand it. It all goes by in 2 minutes or less.
Todd, would you not agree, though, that every horse race, you're going to have to sell it at the end? Like a hockey game, it could just be a dud of a game and you're just doing the call. But at the horse race, by 7, by 8, no matter what, you got to bring it. So there's that kind of excitement and yet the sort of a pressure to deliver the proper enthusiasm.
Exactly. The energy's got to be there, and whether a horse wins by a nose in the final furlong, or we're talking about 15 to 20 lengths, the energy has to be infectious and contagious if you want to call some races on the biggest stage. And have to imagine the task today for the guys calling the race will only be that much more difficult if this rain continues up to post time about an hour from now.
Is it raining now?
The heavens have officially opened up, guys,
wow.
And it'll be very interesting to see how it changes the handicap if we have a sloppy track for the Derby.
Well, I do know that Exaggerator won the Santa Anita in sloppy conditions, so maybe that's the horse to keep an eye on if the rank continues. Hey, Todd, what are we seeing just in terms of the money pouring in right now? I know this is a very busy day in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Nyquist, the overwhelming favorite. He wasn't exactly the top horse getting billed up through Derby futures pools, which a lot of the sportsbooks in Nevada open up as early as last spring. Some start to come online a little bit later, and they really garner a lot of momentum and attention after the Breeders' Cup. So Mo Heyman was that horse. Now, a little bit of luster has fallen off after a poor showing in the Florida Derby. He could have had him about 7 or 8 to 1 in those futures pools, now available at 10 to 1 for the morning line. And he's really become that wise guy horse that a lot of players are using in head-to-head matchups, which have also grown in popularity. But one of the other horses you mentioned, Exaggerator, has caught a lot of attention. And then, of course, the favorite in Nyquist, morning line down to 2-1, going to be tied in a pretty much every exotic wager out there. Exacta, Trifecta, Superfecta, and all the pick threes, pick fours, and, of course, tied into the double from the Oaks yesterday.
Do you have a standard way you go about it as far as do you like to box things, Todd? I mean, what's the average gambler who's just trying to sort of take it up from, okay, I just bet a horse, to doing just a little bit more, what would your advice be?
I think when you're betting the Derby, first off, you have to approach it as a recreational venture. This isn't the best horse race to try and make money. That'll happen throughout the course of horse racing season on a Tuesday morning in tracks that most people haven't heard of. And typically the Derby has opened itself up to a real long shot hitting the board. Problem being, for a lot of the speculators that have tried to take a little bit of money and turn it into a lot, you've seen the favorite run in the money each of the last 3 years. So by going into the betting window and trying to bet your exactas and trifectas, I always tell people the worst case scenario is you don't include the favorite. He runs into the fold. So you want to try and tie him in. But I think a trifecta box, probably the most conventional way to approach it, whether it's $1, $2, or you have a deeper bankroll. Take 4 or 5 horses, try and put a tri box in there and hope things break the right way for you down that final stretch.
Yeah, and usually those will pay out pretty well. And that's the thing about the Derby. I mean, there's so many horses that you can win money. I mean, it's just hard to get the right horses in there because while the payouts are big, there's 20 horses to choose from. So it's not easy to pick the right one.
There's no doubt about it. But the one nice thing sometimes about horse racing, if you want to try and bet, place, show, and some of your options are available, your horse doesn't have to come in first overall, which is a different thought process for bettors that have grown accustomed to betting a basketball game or a football game where there's a winner and a loser. You can still be a loser, finish third, and have quite the profitable payday at the track.
You mentioned the great life of being a play-by-play guy for horse racing or hockey. Is there anything better in the world than being, say, an American Pharoah and then winning and then going on to the life that American Pharoah is now living currently? Can you find anything better in life, Todd?
I'm not quite sure, although I will say at the same time, if any of us were asked to stud on command, I'm not sure that it would work out the way we've envisioned it for American Pharoah. But Nyquist has that pedigree. You look at what this horse has done as a favorite, 7-0 in the races that we've seen, earnings of $3.3 million. If Nyquist is able to become a Triple Crown winner or even just win the Derby and come up a bit short in the Preakness and or Belmont, he may have a very similar lifestyle ahead. Can't imagine he'll be running in a lot of high-profile races after this Triple Crown season.
Todd, we appreciate it as always. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the race, and more importantly, happy wagering.
Yeah, baby. All right.
Todd Furman, he's the best. Speaking of that stuff with American Pharoah, when we come back,
so good.
There's a great story that was written this week about American Pharoah's life right now, and I think it probably has a lot of human beings jealous.
Well, you're gonna kind of break this down in an Adam Hogue reading style way. We're all going to get read to about the life of American Pharoah.
It's incredible. We'll get to that next. But first, Sunday, baseball's best square off in Wrigley. It's Jake Arrieta versus Bryce Harper, Cubs Nationals, Sunday at 1 on WGN-TV. This is The Beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, 720 WGN.
This is my kingdom come. This is
now back to The Beat.
720 WGN.
Well, the whole crew from the Roll Cod Show is officially here, ready to go for the Kentucky Derby. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here with you. We're at Howls in Hood.
I see Roe constantly drinking wine. I don't see him having the double Roe 7. We're going to talk to Roe, and that's really number one thing that I'm interested in right now. Not who he's – if you're going to have a – you have a drink named after you. I mean, all I would do is walk around if you tried the double Roe 7. It's named after me. I have a drink named after me. Do you? That's what I would do.
But did
do you have
he
anything?
Name it?
I don't know, but it's, I mean, well, maybe he doesn't, okay.
We'll find out later. He will join us before the Derby, probably around 5 o'clock.
Susan Berkus is here, Judy Pilak's here, Kevin Powell's here, Violetta's here.
This is really the place where you should be watching the Kentucky Derby. People have their hats, their outfits. We're giving away prizes for the most dapper, the best hat. There's a cool raffle where you could pick the winner of the Kentucky Derby and then win prizes.
Right, and we're talking a ton of Derby, but we're also going to keep you up to date. On first of all, are the White Sox playing tonight, Adam?
Yes, they are, Mark Carmen.
You missed the start of the show. That was just a dig at Adam. Cubs are leading the Nationals 2-1. They are in the bottom of the fourth. If anything happens there, we'll let you know. The Blues, by the way, beat the Stars earlier today. St. Louis now leading that series 3-2. Not to remind everybody that the Blackhawks could still be playing right now and beating the Dallas Stars because they would have been, yeah.
Well, it would have been a good series, just like this Blues-Star series has been. All right, so we mentioned in the last segment American Pharoah.
Yeah.
And his life now that he is retired. The horse, of course, won the Kentucky Derby last year, the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup. The only horse who has ever done that.
It's amazing.
And he did it all in impressive fashion,
the
American Pharoah.
The mental fortitude plus the physical nature of American Pharoah.
So the writer John Clay at the Lexington Herald Leader this week caught up with last year's winner, American Pharoah.
Oh, he did.
I'm sure that was a stunning interview.
We're actually going to catch up with Nyquist, the lead horse, the favorite at 4:30. Just to remind everybody, we'll have a horse on our show, too. Go ahead.
We are. We have an exclusive pre-race interview with Nyquist coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm not kidding. We are seriously going to have a conversation with him.
We are. Yeah. And nobody else has that. Don't go anywhere. 4:35, the favorite for the Kentucky Derby, will be on the beat right here.
But to get back to American Pharoah, I really like how Deadspin summarized this story. So I'm going
to
read.
I want you to wave at your son because that's just so adorable.
Yeah, I saw him earlier.
Okay, that's amazing. Go ahead. Continue on. Sorry. I know we're doing a radio show.
So here's a rundown of American Pharoah's day, just a day in the life of American Pharoah. This, of course, from John Clay at the Lexington Herald Leader, although I'm reading this from Deadspin because I like the way that they summarized it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So American Pharoah chills in his 182-square-foot stall in a big stone barn. He eats a breakfast of grains. He spends an hour, I'm going to put it, hanging out with a mare whose owners have paid $200,000 just for the privilege to quote-unquote hang out with American Pharoah.
So he wakes up. He goes right into a grain.
He gets a nice breakfast of grains. He spends an hour just chilling with a...
I mean, are they getting after it?
Mare.
Are they getting after it there, or are they just hanging out getting to know each other?
No, I think they're paying $200,000 to get after it.
Okay,
getting after it.
So early morning, right into his day.
Right. Just how it starts an average day.
Right, okay.
He then gets to play outside on a 20,000-acre farm called the Ashford Stud.
Mm.
Often rolling in the mud. He likes to roll in the mud. Then American Pharoah will enjoy a nice grooming session after rolling in the mud.
That's amazing. Like a massage, right? Just get groomed.
Yeah. Then he greets a steady parade of fans, 25 a visit. They just fans come in just to see American Pharoah.
Does he allow them to pet?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes the horses, I've talked to some of the horses on the street, and they don't really like to be pet. They're constantly pet. They don't touch me.
Yeah, American Pharoah can put up with his fan. He's good with his fan base.
Okay.
And this is all before lunch, by the way. We're still just at lunch. He gets to lunch, eats a nice bran mash for lunch. And then sometime in the afternoon, he gets to hang out with another mare.
So he goes morning, then he rests, then he has lunch, and then he's frolicking, he's groomed, and then he has another mare that comes and sees him in the afternoon.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is exact wording from Deadspin now. It turns out American Pharoah is a natural at siring foals. He has successfully impregnated his mates something like 80 times out of 100 tries.
Wow.
That is a success rate prodigious for a rookie stallion, says the stallion manager at Ashford. He's a joy to be around. He's absolutely push button, no problem. American Pharoah has put on 170 pounds at the farm in just 6 months. He's not racing anymore, so he put on the weight. He's just retired. He's a retired 4-year-old horse enjoying life, his grains and mash.
I mean, a lot of people will
mares.
Say, yeah, listen, it's kind of almost like the broadcasting world. Like, it's a rough life for a horse if you're trying to make it and you're battling and you're on tracks and you're getting shipped off to different places and who knows in what condition. But once you hit it, once you go big time, then there's, like, no better life around.
Hey, this is no different than retirement for human beings. You hit it big.
Oh, really?
You hit it big early. You make your money. You can go off and retire early. If you're not as good of a horse, some of these horses, I saw a race this morning where an 8-year-old won. He's been racing for 5 extra years. American Pharoah's already done with that. He's moved on. He's living a much better life now where he can just chill on his 20,000-acre farm and eat grain all day and put on 170 pounds.
And just chill.
Exactly.
And perform. Does he get to watch Netflix at night? I mean, do they stream in like a house of cards for him?
I don't know. But 80 out of 100? I mean, how many little American Pharoahs are they going to be running around here?
Apparently quite a few.
I mean, in 3 years, the entire Kentucky Derby is just going to be American Pharoah.
Well, and that's great for horse racing fans because we're going to have a high level of competition. Did you ever watch Seabiscuit?
The movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen Seabiscuit.
Get emotional?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I don't remember how emotional I got.
What sports movies have you ever gotten emotional in? The Natural? When Roy Hobbs is rounding the bases? Did you feel that at all? No? I'm just soft.
No, because there are movies where I...
What about Rudy?
Eh.
You didn't cry in Rudy? For real? I don't know if I can do the show with you.
Because I didn't cry?
When Rudy runs on the field, Rudy, nothing?
That's cool. I can't remember. I haven't seen Rudy in like 10 years.
Mm. Okay. I'm just going to let that sit there. I'm digesting.
Give me more time to think about it.
Because when Seabiscuit was getting after it, I was so into Seabiscuit. The spirit of that horse.
The way you just put that was very awkward.
Well, that wasn't meant to kind of land that way. But that was a great movie, one that I connected with, and really felt the love for Seabiscuit. We're gonna have another horse on the air coming up here. I'm gonna try
to
connect.
And so we got to take a break here. We'll get to your 4:30 news. And then we're going to go out to Churchill Downs, where we have an exclusive pre-race interview with Nyquist, your 2-1 favorite right now for the Kentucky Derby.
It's amazing.
I mean, we talked early in the show about how you wanted to get inside the brain of the horse. You wanted to understand what they know,
yes,
what they're really thinking about. We're going to talk to Nyquist an hour before he runs in the Kentucky Derby.
It's amazing that our outstanding producer, Dan Long, was able to run down this horse. Many other producers couldn't get this done, but we've gotten it done.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Good luck had you strung me to the racetrack. I did go.
720 WGN. This is The Beat. We're live at Howells and Hood. It's our Derby party, and the race is about exactly 57 minutes away. I'm very confident in my picks.
Yeah.
I feel incredibly comfortable on the research that I've done.
Okay.
And
do you remember the name of your horse?
No. Okay. Yes, no. More Spirit. I got it. More Spirit, Adam. The 17 horse, More, M-O-R. That word translates to mom in Danish. It's Mother's Day tomorrow.
Okay.
The mother of your child is here.
Yeah.
A lot
she
of
just gave me a sip of that Derby mule that they're making here in Howells and Hood. It's got Tito's handmade vodka in there, mint, ginger beer, and lime in it.
Kristen Decker likes that here, taking pictures, which you'll get to see at WGNradio.com.
Also, my son is taking over the engineer duties from Adam Phillips.
I hope
we're still on the air right now.
I think your son wants to be just like his daddy.
All right, let's go out to Churchill Downs right now. We have a very special guest on the line.
Huge opportunity.
This is big. If you've ever wondered what a horse is thinking an hour before the Kentucky Derby, I believe we have Nyquist, the Derby favorite, on the line with us right now.
Yeah, not just a horse, but the favorite with all the pressure on his shoulders. Nyquist, this is a big moment for you, the fact that you would actually take time to talk to us right now. We're flattered. How are you feeling?
Hey, guys. I'm doing okay. Thanks for giving me a phone call and wishing me luck.
So what are what's the nerve level right now? I got to imagine you're starting to feel a little nervous an hour before the race.
No, I don't get that much nervous. I mean, I'm 7-0. The thing is, I got to be honest with you. I'm a little upset. I got like this courtesy fridge in my stall. And I open it up. I took a Snickers bar. It cost me like $11.
That's the Kentucky Derby, Nyquist. You have to understand you're at an upper-level event. Now, your sire is Uncle Mo, and it seems to me, just listening to you talk right now, that you and Uncle Mo perhaps don't see eye to eye. Can you let us into the relationship between you and your sire, Uncle Mo?
Yeah, well, actually, I call him Slow-Mo because I could beat that guy about 6 months in. I'm telling you straight out, okay? I don't care for him. I have more respect for my grandpa. Indian Charlie, well, they changed his name, Native People of the American Charles, but he's great. He's absolutely great. My mom, I don't know if you know my mom, Seeking Gabriel, she's hot.
Yeah, you got a hot mom? What'd you get her for Mother's Day? What'd you get her for Mother's Day, Nyquist?
I'm going to give her a dozen roses that I win today.
Hey. That's okay. Hey, Nyquist, I got to get into your training here a little bit. I've always wondered this. Now, when you're out there with Doug O'Neill, your fine trainer.
Doug, he's great.
Now, do they ever teach you how to turn right, or is it just to the left? Because that's really the only direction you need to go.
Good question.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us, like, we wear them blinders. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We put them on our eyes. Except, it's funny, Moe Spirit. He's got his blinders, but they're actually Gary Stevens' AARP cards. But I can go right. I can do it. But I only wear one blinder on the race day. You'll notice when you see me today, I got one blinder on just to remind me which way to go.
Okay. That's interesting, the one blinder situation. I don't know if you were listening, Nyquist, or in the last segment, I believe they carry our show live down there in the stalls at the Kentucky Derby. But
but it costs extra money. I put the macadamia nuts back.
But we were going over American Pharoah's life since he won the Kentucky Derby and every other race last year, Triple Crown winner. And he's, I don't know if you know this, but he is impregnating at a rate of 80%.
You're not looking ahead, are you, Nyquist?
Yeah, well, I don't have to. It actually doesn't matter what I do today. I already signed with a stud farm, Ashford and Simpson. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be it doesn't matter what happens today. I'm pretty much set. So I'm going through my basic pre-meal that I go through, that I eat before I race.
What does that consist of?
It's a beef sandwich. I got sweet peppers. I got some cheese fries and a large high C orange.
What do you do after you win, Nyquist? What's the celebration?
I just ran out of high C orange, guys. A little high C orange. You see the price of the Snickers? Yeah, go ahead.
What about post-race? Like after you're speaking very confidently here, Nyquist, when you got your flowers and that you're going to give to your mom tomorrow and the whole deal, what do you do to celebrate tonight?
Well, first I'm going to need a little alone time in my stall because there's cheese fries back up on you. I'm letting you know that right now. But I'll probably, the funny thing is I meant to tell you this. Adam, I apologize to you. I almost met you one day.
Oh, really?
I kid you not, I was doing a promo for House on the Rock up in Dodgeville.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped in at the Norsky Nook. I was getting some pies. I think he was there with his wife and your little kid. I was going to say something, but I didn't want to make a big fuss. I didn't want anybody to know I was there, so I backed off. But I apologized to you.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. But,
Well, you never even called me up, Nyquist, because I've left you a ton of messages and nothing for good old At the Carm on Twitter.
Yeah, okay, who's talking to me right now?
That would be Mark Carmen. He's betting against you today, Nyquist.
Yeah, I don't,
betting against you.
I'm going with the 17 horse here, Nyquist. First of all, your attitude right now is super cocky, and I'm just not feeling you. And secondly, I mean, I got to stick with my guy here, coming strong, good old Moore Spirit. So I don't mean to be offensive to you, but that's where I'm at.
No, definitely. Hey, you do what you got to do, Mark. And when why not? Here's my suggestion for you. Take the money that you're going to put on Moore Spirit, roll it up into a ball, and whip it out your window.
Well, I'm looking forward to see you put your money where your mouth is, Nyquist. This is, 7-0 is great, but this is the Kentucky Derby. I mean, this is a whole nother level for you. So I if I were you, I'd dial it back.
Yeah, well, Mark, let me just also remind you this, 7-0. Did you hear what I said, 7-0? And I'll tell you another thing. I don't like the fact that my name is Nyquist.
Well,
okay, I'm not a big hockey fan, and I'll tell you something else. I think it was my third race. I was doing the Front Runner Stakes. A bunch of these Red Wing fans come. I win. They start throwing, like, raw calamari at me, okay? So I'm going to start a new tradition in Detroit. I want everybody, when they get a hat trick, to throw Clorox wipes.
Who would you like to be named after, Nyquist?
I want to be named, actually, I would like to be named after a good friend of mine. His name is Frank. I love him. He's probably my best friend. I'm getting a little emotional. He's still around, but he don't run no more.
Okay. Hey, I understand, by the way, Nyquist is a very good friend of the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, yeah?
Which you can hear on WGN on weekday mornings.
Yeah, anything you want to tell Steve?
Well, I understand that there's a karaoke thing going on there with the show, Nyquist, if you could tell us about that.
Okay, I only listen to you guys, and I only did it because your producer called me and said I would get a Snickers bar and I wouldn't have to pay for it.
250 calories in that Snickers bar, Nyquist. That's a lot right before a race.
Hey, and it was a big king-size one. Don't get me wrong. It was huge.
That's bang for your buck right there. You got anything you want to tell Steve?
I'm not a big fan. I don't know him that well. Was he back at GN again? This is like his fourth time.
He is, yeah, he's back.
He does the morning show.
Is he doing like the weather now?
No, he hosts morning, 6 to 10. He's a big-time guy.
He does a little bit more than the weather.
Okay, I don't think we're talking about the same guy.
All right, well, Nyquist, we better let you get back to your Snickers bar.
Yeah, they're waving me in. Plus, I swear to you, I'm out of Orange Ice Tea.
Okay.
Nyquist, you go impress us, my friend.
Yeah, go throw your money away, Mark.
And be nice to Gary Stevens when he's mounting you.
Hey, no problem. Hey, he's not going to happen. He's like 53.
All right. Thank you very much, Nyquist.
Bye, guys.
All right.
There he goes.
That's incredible work right there to get Nyquist on the phone an hour before the race.
It was, and we did have to go through his sire, Uncle Mo, who didn't want us to have him on because he was going to say the stuff that he just said. But, hey, that's the type of insight and the inside information and the context that we can bring you here on the beat. I mean, how many shows can have Nyquist on right before the Derby, the overwhelming favorite? Good job, Adam. Good job, Dan Long. I'm happy to be along for the ride.
Thanks to John DeCoste, the very funny comedian and friend of the Steve Cochran Show. Go look him up. His comedy is unbelievable, and we love him here on
the
beat.
He's the best.
Yes,
he's
absolutely. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here. We are live at Howls and Hood. Big party here. Chicago Derby party presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We got to get to a break. And by the way, we will be doing the judging for our most dapper and the best hat contest coming up here at 5 o'clock. So you're going to want to get in here to Howls and Hood quickly. I believe the finalists are being finalized as we speak.
Determined right now. Rokan will be with us at 5, so maybe he will help us out with that as well. We're going to talk to some people from the Rokan show as well. Kevin Powell will give you an update. He's got his own Derby thoughts and a little update about what's going on in the baseball as well. That's all straight ahead, live from Howls and Hood. Come on down and see us. The Derby, less than an hour away, 720 WGN.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN and on demand at WGNradio.com.
The Beat back at Howls and Hood. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here with you. Going to be giving away some prizes in about 15 minutes or so. Mark Carmen is not going to win Most Dapper.
You're right, I'm not, but I look good. Just make that clear to everybody.
Kevin Powell looks pretty good, too. He's sitting here.
Yeah, pretty good is an understatement, Adam. Driving in, I was a little worried because Adam's playing the role of, like, Mr. Red Carpet Analysis here.
Yeah.
And I was worried.
Which I'm totally qualified to do, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And I was worried that I was underdressed. And then I saw you guys and I felt better.
Yeah, I'm not.
Hogue looks better than you. He's got a tie
on. You think
so? Yes, he's got a tie.
But he's got jeans. I counter with the khakis.
That's true.
Yeah, but they're classy jeans.
Overall, you're more professional. I will grant you
Thank you.
But he's got a larger pop on the top half.
He does look good. You look good, Hogue. You should have seen Hogue at draft night. Holy cow. This guy was full out, decked, looking sharp.
You got to go big or go home for the draft.
But, Carm, yeah, I mean, Hogue. I thought Hogue was being mean to you. But he's pretty accurate with the laser.
You don't like my look?
No, I mean, that was definitely at the bottom of the laundry basket, and you pulled it out.
First of all, it was hanging, but it has been worn probably a couple times without a proper ironing.
Yes.
You're not wrong about that.
You look good, Carl.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. You've got a whole handicapping situation. You've got numbers circled. What do you got going on?
I was directed by the great Rokan.
Where'd you get the
program? I have a handy little OTB near my house in good old Mount Prospect.
So you went and picked
I was directed by Rokan to specifically pick up four DRFs, as he calls them. And he said DRF.
Daily racing form.
Yes. Congratulations. As you knew what that stood for, I was panicking. I didn't know what he meant.
Oh,
fortunately,
okay.
He clarified for me. So I went to the OTB near my house.
Do you have to pay for those?
Yes. $5 a pop.
Five a shot, huh? $20? Will you get reimbursed for that?
Yeah, I've already filed it in our system.
Okay. Good. Good job.
That was quick.
And has it helped you break down the race with the DRF?
I like it. Do you know how to read those?
Some of it. You know, I grew up 15 minutes from Arlington Park, so I've been going to the racetrack my whole life. I really don't ask me to break down this race at all. Don't ask me for any technical aspects with the horses.
Okay. Hold on a second. You just walked over. I said, let's not talk horse racing.
Nope.
Let's talk baseball. Like, you're like, no, Carm, I want to talk horses.
I want to talk horses, but in a certain way. I'm not gonna sit here and give you, you know, specific numbers. Rokan's going to be up with you guys in a bit, right? Ro can break this thing down for you.
You want to go 30 for 30 inside the horse?
I would compare the Kentucky Derby with, like, March Madness. Nobody watches one damn college basketball game all season, and the tournament rolls around. They're all experts. It's kind of how the Derby is, right?
Yeah.
Everybody on Derby Day is an expert. They're a handicapper. So it's kind of fun. But I was all in on Nyquist. Awesome name. Named after a hockey player, right?
Yeah, but you say Nyquist to me, it's like NyQuil, like I'm going to sleep.
Gustav Nyquist.
Now, I know, I get it.
Did you hear our exclusive interview with Nyquist about 10 minutes ago?
I did not. I apologize for missing that.
Very good. He was very confident and cocky, it sounded like. He was upset, though. They were charging him extra for the Snicker bars inside the stall. But
$11 for a Snicker bar.
Yeah, it sounds extreme to me.
I'll have to podcast that.
I thought he sounded a little overconfident.
All right, here's my pro tip. This is what I'm betting. Expressbet.com, promo code ROW.
What are you, Eddie Olchek? Oh, no, ROW's got the same.
Yes, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
I'm going Exacta box. Got to box it to be safe.
Did Rokon tell you to say this?
No. This is what I'm rolling with. Exaggerator.
Yeah, that's
Nyquist. Exacta box.
It's a boring bet.
$2? I'll probably throw like $5 down.
So it's $10 total.
I think ExpressBet.com has a minimum on how much you can deposit initially, so I got to look into that. I've got, 30 minutes to do that?
You've got roughly 30 minutes. You got nothing more exciting than the favorite with an exaggerator? You're Kevin Powell. You're an expert.
Fine. Let's go this
route. Give me something.
Talk him out of his horse?
Let's go this route.
I might have.
Yeah. How about Gunrunner?
Ooh, now we're.
I like Gunrunner. He's in my Exacta.
Well, that's a cool name.
Little too Trumpy for me with Gunrunner. To be honest, can we go away from the Gunrunner?
Judy Pilak, I heard earlier. By the way, interrupt your show. That was fantastic. She went sudden breaking news. I could go team afternoon show and roll with Judy here and go breaking news.
Not a bad play.
Do we Exacta box sudden breaking news and Gunrunner and box it? Are you talking me out of my initial bet, Carm? Is that what I'm going to roll with?
I think I sort of have, but I don't know if I like a 2-5 out of play. What about you don't like my guy? The one that I keep on forgetting?
I can't keep track. The past 2 hours,
17.
I've heard,
Take down a more spirit.
Okay, that's...
I could see it on your program.
No, this isn't
circled.
Mine. I think this is Rose.
Rose got it circled even better.
That's a tease. He'll give you the...
How many of those did you pick up again?
Four of them.
You went to the OTB this
morning.
Okay,
the OTB.
It picked up four.
The OTB was unbelievably packed. I mean, there was private parties there. There was a tent. I was totally out of my element. I wandered over to the area and I said, "Can I have four of those, please?" And the lady gave me an ugly look. Gave her a 20. Got out of there. Parking lot completely packed. But I did it for Rokon because I love it.
Did you? Did they recognize you? Did they know?
Yeah, that actually is my local watering hole. So
interesting.
I saw some of my bartenders.
The OTB is.
Well, it's a bar with an OTB attached to it.
Got it.
So that's my my expert horse picks. Did you guys want to talk about anything else?
Did we learn anything?
What do you think about the fact that Mark Carmen says we're going up against the Cubs game today, which just shouldn't talk about baseball?
What did the Cubs do? They're up 2-1, right?
2-2 now.
Yeah. The Cubs,
but they're completely forgot that there's another team in town that also happens to be in first place that doesn't play until tonight.
They're playing fairly well, Carmen. You should look into them. They play on the south side, 35th and Shields, Chicago White Sox.
I was there last night.
I know you were. What happened with Latos? You got in a fight with Matt Latos?
He whacked him in the face with his microphone.
And then elbowed him in the stomach? Well, is that what happened?
Well, what happened was that Matt Latos and I have a long history of reporter / baseball player camaraderie, and I was a little bit late getting to Matt Latos because I stayed a little bit after with Robin Ventura at the original press conference. So when I got over, they
you
were
stayed late with Ventura. You just got a couple extra.
Yeah, what does that mean? You were shooting the breeze
one-on-one.
I hadn't seen Robin in a while.
Did
so
he get tossed last night? I didn't have the sound on the TV. He actually did get tossed.
He's got a little edge to him this season.
Well, it was
a little different there.
It's kind of a weird time to get tossed because they were up 10-4.
Was he mad that they warned both benches?
He wanted to stick up for Jose Abreu, bottom line.
But what was he mad about? The fact that his guy got drilled and both teams got warned?
Yes.
I hate that, too. I don't think both teams should have to get
warned.
But
you were talking about Jose apologizing after the game. He's just the nicest guy ever. That's why he was apologizing. He said, "I want to apologize to the White Sox and everybody involved with the White Sox," because he felt bad. He didn't want to get in a fight with somebody. That's not Jose's style, but it was fun for us.
He didn't get in a fight, though. He just got mad because he got drilled in the rib, which I would be mad, too.
I was personally a little bit offended by some of the White Sox fans that I was sitting next to last night who were yelling things out like drill him in the head, that they wanted retribution for Jose Abreu. That is not the way you want to comport yourself.
Where were you sitting in the bleachers?
I thought you were working.
But you're in the press box.
What I do when I cover an event
I do the same thing. I like to feel the crowd.
Are you talking about Bruce Levine and David Schuster?
No, I did not see either of those two gentlemen last night.
Really? Bruce doesn't miss a game.
Well, I think for whatever reason, he was not there last night. It was myself.
Are you saying that Bruce Levine was yelling, drill him in the head?
No.
Is that what you're saying
here? It was some fans behind home plate. I, I took the liberty of just checking out the crowd, which I think is a very good move. You want to feel the press box, but you also want to feel the crowd.
Right.
And they were screaming, drill him in the head. And I think okay. White Sox fans are better than them. 99% of them. I just was sitting next to the 1% that weren't.
And I know we got to break real quick. Yeah. I'll just throw this out there. Expert analysis on the Cubs, they're really good. They're probably not going to lose a whole lot of games, and they're probably going to win the division and maybe the whole
World Series.
There.
That's what you
I'll
get from
there.
Kevin Powell. You can only hear it on 720
That's right.
WGN.
That's
the
right.
Cubs are good.
You're welcome. Love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, KP.
Derby day.
We got put in charge of giving out these prizes, so we got to go do that.
Okay.
It's time for a break.
Rokan will be with us after the news.
And Rokan at 720 WGN. I'm a little rattled right now. That was a lot of pressure giving out those prizes to our best-dressed attendees here at Howls and Hood.
You had a 5-year-old girl that you just had to say no to.
I know.
You're a terrible person.
I am. And I've learned is it a fastener?
I thought it was the fascinator.
Fascinator?
But I could be wrong. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Adam Hoge. This is 720 WGN. We're broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. And Ro Khan is with us. Hi, Ro.
It's Fascinator, by the way.
Fascinator.
It's Fascinator. That's what Pippa Stockingworth, or whatever her name was, the one that...
Pippa Stockingworth?
Yeah. I don't remember. I just remember that her sister married a prince, and that's all okay. I know, but it wore a Fascinator.
Now, did you make Kevin Powell dress up exactly like you? Or
I did. Okay. I did, yeah. Everybody on the show has to... following my tradition, okay. No matter what the tradition is. So
well, you guys all look very nice. Yeah. And
by the way, I just want to say, Adam, you are very natty today.
Natty?
Yes, natty. I don't know what's going on with you, Carl.
You don't like my...
Okay. He's derby-ish.
I got color, bro.
You do have color. You're purple.
I got good. And there's stripes and, you know.
It's true.
I suppose I could have just... If I knew that there was a standard, you wear a nice little suit or a sport coat, look, I suppose I could have done that. But then I thought that would have been just too, you know, down the middle.
I just want to say that we should never talk about what people are wearing on the radio, because that's like a... Yeah. But I did it anyway.
But we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's not...
All right, so we're just about 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes away from the race, and people here are all a Twitter.
They are.
Yes.
Well, they should be.
This is very exciting. Then,
now, at what point do you get, because I know how much you love this, mm-hmm. Do you feel nervous before the race, even when you're just watching?
I still walk it.
Yeah?
Yeah, even though I've got nothing, you know, I've got no connection to any horse in this race, I get very, very, I feel what they're feeling right yeah. now, you know, because I've been in the business basically sort of on and off my whole life, but for the last 10 years intensely in the business, and it's like, I just know exactly what every connection here, whether they're a breeder or an owner or the people directly around the horse, the trainer, this is that moment.
So for those who don't know, how did you just rewinding it back, get involved in the game, fall in love with it, the whole
thing? My family was involved when I was a kid and was involved in track operations and also in breeding and owning and racing. And then about... a little more than 10 years ago, Ron Majors, who has also been involved in that almost his whole life, said, hey, you know, let's come in and let's go do this together. And so I did it with him. I'm still in it with him. And we actually had, we bred and owned and now are breeding to an Illinois champion.
How
Third
do you-
chance. Who won almost $700,000 in her career.
Well,
wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, without giving away tips, what do you tend to look for as far as, like, the quote unquote next play? As far as I'm going to acquire this horse. Is that too deep of a question? I'm getting
no,
to look
well,
like
we're far more on the breeding part of it now.
Oh, okay.
So now we're just trying to do what they call nicking in our business, which is trying to figure out who the boy and the girl are to get together, and then uh-huh. you know, and they fall in love. Here's how it works. You know, and a boy horse meets a girl horse, and they fall in love, and then they have a baby, and then we'll see what happens. You know, it's really interesting because American Pharoah, who, you know, Triple Crown winner, is now charging $200,000.
Yeah.
That's the list price. $200,000 per throw in Kentucky as a stud. Already 100, there's 100 mares in fold to him right now. So that's $20 million that he's made this year. Well, he hasn't made it yet because those foals have to be born, they have to stand up, they have to nurse before they get paid.
Okay.
But on the books, it's $20 million in business. And that is an unbelievably high number because even great horses, their first year out, the first crop, no one knows what they're going to be. You don't know if they're going to be good studs or great on the track, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that translates. And right now, there's so much money in the business. There's more foals on the ground this year than there have been in the last 20 in racing. Racing has turned around completely, and in part because of American Pharoah.
So there's definitely been a boost in the last year.
No question. Handles are up at the tracks. Interest internationally is up.
I mean, attendance went up last year, right, everywhere he went?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
20,000 people showed up for a workout.
That's crazy.
At Saratoga.
Wow.
Which he lost, but it was in that race. But it was really, really, really it was so great for racing to have a Triple Crown winner. We always knew it, right? We've been waiting since 1978 for one, and now we have one. And he's a great ambassador.
Well, I remember how excited you were last year when that happened. Actually, I watched the Belmont here at Howls and Hood after our show.
I was on your show. I was there when that happened. Mm-hmm. And we tried, and we had some communication issues, as I seem to recall.
Yeah, because you were at the race,
right?
And there's so many people there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Derby here today.
Okay,
Nyquist, the favorite.
Nyquist is really tough to beat, I think.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a rain shower move through the area. Now it's cleared skies in Louisville, and I don't think the track is wet or sloppy enough for it to affect Nyquist. I think Nyquist is a monster horse, and I wouldn't necessarily bet on Nyquist to win this race right now, but I would definitely, if you're tricking up the bet and you want 1-2-3-4 in that bet, or 1-2 or 1-2-3, I think you got to keep Nyquist around at least in half of what you're doing.
For those people, because you're so into the game, for those people say, hey, the horses aren't treated fairly. How do you respond to those people? Represent the
sport. I have incredible bills that will show you that they are treated fairly. It sounded like Donald Trump when I said that, didn't I?
But, incredible bills.
Incredible bills. In our particular operation, the horse comes first. Always, always, always. I'll tell you a story very quickly. We had a horse at Arlington a number of years ago who got bitten by a mosquito. There's a number of mosquito-borne illnesses that can actually hit a horse. And this horse got very sick, went down in his stall and was lying on his side for 2 days. Horses can't lie on their side for 2 days because their internal organs, they're not capable of actually structuring their, because their rib cages are very small, right? And so they lay down on their internal organs. They actually can cut off their own liver or their own intestines and stuff like that. All kinds of bad things can happen. So he was on his side for 2 days, and a vet came in and said, we're going to put this horse down. And we had loved this horse so much that we were like, no, don't put him down. Let's give him one more night to get up. That morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, that horse stood up.
Wow.
And we immediately pulled the racing papers because we knew that this horse was never going to be able to come back as a thoroughbred, never going to be able to race again. And we got him involved in a trail ride, essentially. He's a trail ride horse now.
Okay.
And you have to untrain them. I mean, there's a lot of things that thoroughbreds go through in terms of training and their diet and nutrition and the sort of their daily schedule is that makes them pretty aggressive to get them ready for the race. When you take them out of that, they can come back and train down to be, very stable, fun horses to be around. Thoroughbreds are not. By nature, you wouldn't want to put like the 10-year-old on the thoroughbred and say, "Hey, go ride," for a couple of
might be a bit
minutes.
Much.
Yeah, it's a bit much, but we've done. I mean, this is the sort of thing that we do. We have always done the extra. We have a 2-year-old right now that literally has in the last 2 months been running in a saltwater heated pool in Lexington.
Sounds amazing.
At the University of Kentucky, just to get his suspensory ligament back into form.
Wow.
and he's fat and happy and couldn't be in better shape right now.
So you got to lift him up with a crane and drop him into the pool.
No, They'll walk in.
And then
there's a treadmill underneath, and then they start to move, and then the water. I want to come back as one of my horses.
Right?
That's what I want to do.
I mean, is there a better life out there than American Pharoah right now, really?
No.
We went through that last hour in his life, just running around a 20,000-acre farm.
Well, and they each get an acre, right? And they each get they have the indoor stalls are amazing. They have TVs in some of the stalls. Some of the horses like it. It's kind of interesting, yeah.
Like horse TV.
Like Mr. Ed, yeah. But there is so much made of this. And listen, there are bad operators too, like anything, right?
But
there are people that don't treat their animals well or that will race them until they break down. But I have found in the business, at the highest end of the business, that's not the case. If you've paid a lot of money for a horse or, you know, it's a well-bred horse, people take care of them, and there's a lot of respect. I mean, I would say that 80% of the business has respect for, you know, that you're dealing with a live animal. And when you get to know these animals, oh, my God. I mean,
right?
They're smart. They know things. They will surprise you with what they'll do in any given day. And when you ask something of them, like the jockeys and the trainers and the people who work with them every day, not me. I ask them to win, and they go, go, you know, blank yourself. But the jockeys and the trainers, I mean, will come back and they go, something happened there. They grew up. They knew something. They learned something.
Did you cry in Seabiscuit?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I just can't remember. I didn't say it didn't. I just haven't seen the movie in a long
time. I just watched it about a month ago again.
Wow.
And I did again. And Gary Stevens, who, by the way, is on a horse today in this race, Gary Stevens is a jockey. Gary Stevens is 48, 49 years old. He is racing today, and he was in that movie. He took 7 years. He had a spill, took 7 years off, and then now he's back.
He was also in Luck, the HBO show,
right,
that I was so upset got canceled so quickly.
You know what? I've been in the business. Like I said, I've been in the business a long time, and I did not understand what was going on in that show. You know, day in, day out track people wrote that. And it was they use that language that day in and day out track people use. It's not English. It's the words might be English. Some of them are Cajun. But the words are, like, and they're all in the wrong order. And so it's like, I don't know what's going on. So I'll give you my picks.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Right after we do whatever we're going to do here.
Okay.
We're going to do something?
We'll take a break. We'll come back, get your picks. Because okay. I want to find out if you're trying to beat Nyquist, how you do it. All right, this is the Beat. Adam Hogmark, Carmen. We are at Howells and Hood. There's still time to come in and check out the Derby. This is the place to be to watch it. It's the Beat on 720 WGN.
Now the race is on, and here comes Pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back.
Well, we're just about a little over 10 minutes away from post time. Adam Hogmark, Carmen, the Beat. With Rokan at Howells and Hood.
Steely eye of a Rokan as we edge towards post time right now. I can feel the tension building as we're about to get Ro's picks here. I was just telling Ro off the air, one of my buddies just texting, long shot specials. I like Whitmore, my man Sam Majesto, and Brody's Cause if he stays at 24-1.
Let me tell you something. A long shot is always good in a race like this because these are all great horses. There's only one reason that they're 3-year-olds. Which means they're college athletes growing up to be professionals. So you have to look at this like these are college basketball players or football players, and you never know who's going to be great once they hit the pros. And this is their pro moment.
Now speaking
my
language.
That's a good way to think about it. I like that.
So, but then why do they retire the elite horses at 3, right? 3-4 years old?
Because you don't want, because
there's too much money.
Studs, yeah. I mean, as you just heard, $20 million this year for American Pharoah.
A couple dollars.
Which is really unheard of. I mean, generally, if you win the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness, or, you know, you're going to start a stud feed about $25,000, $30,000, and this is $200,000 based on name only.
Okay, so your picks.
All right, well, I think Nyquist is almost impossible to get around, right? I think Nyquist is the class of this race at the moment. But again, as 3-year-olds are growing up, and you don't know in the last 3 weeks how they've changed, and they can. Mohamen, everyone is discounting. Mohamen was a horse that was the odds-on favorite for the Derby in February and March, but then lost badly at Gulfstream in the Florida Derby to Nyquist and a bunch of other horses. And people are like, that horse is done. There's always a bounce back. I would not take Mohamen out of this. He is the 14 horse. Exaggerator is the horse that everyone is talking about. Won the Santa Anita Derby in the rain and just killed the competition. As a matter of fact, got silly at the end of the race. In the last furlong, he went outside and looked behind him to see who was behind him.
The horse did it or the jockey?
No, the horse did it.
That's really what I wanted to talk about today. Like, does the horse know he's racing?
Yes.
What is he thinking? And you're adamant that he absolutely knows what's going on.
They know they win.
They know they win.
Yeah, no question about it.
Wow.
They know they win.
So with, I think the question with Exaggerator, right, is how much of that was due to the slop? Or is, or is he really that good?
Okay, so that's Adam, that's the great question.
Good job,
that's the question
Adam.
Everybody wants to know, which is this horse really that good, or just that day was he that good? I think he's got a lot of heart. I think he's got I don't want to take him out of this at all because I think that he is the playfulness of the horse to turn around, because, again, they're three. So they're young. I mean, this is, you know, he's got another 5 years ahead of him if he wants to stay, you know, if he doesn't go to stud. They're so trained into winning, which they do naturally, by the way. That's part of the thing. You see horses in the field when they're born, yearlings, they're running, they're chasing each other and they're winning, and then they stop and everybody stops. You know, it's a very interesting thing. It's a bred in psychological trait essentially for the horses. So what we're seeing here now is a horse that, and he was like so far ahead, and he was looking to his left and his right, and he saw nothing, and he's like, what? He'd never been in that situation before. And he's like, where is everybody? Was basically what his question was. And his jock turned his head back toward the finish line and was like, you got to finish the race.
Focus.
Right. Yeah. And he did.
I thought the way you said it at first, I was like, is this horse taunting? Like, if you're, you know.
Yeah, no. No, they're wait. That, we had this actually happen in a race at Saratoga a number of years ago. A Union Rags, who was turned out to be a very great horse, Union Rags beat us in a race as a 2-year-old, did the exact same thing, was like, hey, where is everybody? It's not an unusual thing to happen, but it's cool when it does, because it does tell you something about the horse. So this is, I think that Exaggerator is a horse that you definitely want to play. So if I were betting right now.
You got the 11, the 13, the 14.
Right.
I'm following along here.
Right. 11, 13, 14. But you got to also think about on the bottom in the fourth position, Gunrunner. Everyone's talking about Gunrunner, the four horse right now. And I'm not exactly sure why they're talking about him. There's been a lot of rail talk for the last 2 days. Gunrunner had a huge workout a couple days ago. And people like that. Creator, the three horse. Mm-hmm. Is a horse that I think is important. And then if you just want to go really out there, Destin, the 9 horse, and More Spirit, the 17 horse.
Yeah, we've had More Spirit come up twice. Amy Guth was on earlier, loves More Spirit. Yeah. And we had Doug Nackman on, who always loves the long shots, and he said More Spirit.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where they are sitting right now, because they're on the screen up in front of us, because it's moving, because right now all the money's coming in.
Yeah.
And so they're and it's the odds are moving around crazy because it's a parimutuel. People don't get this that all the money that gets bet minus 2% goes out
right
back to the bettors. So that's an important thing. There are people who are talking about in our business, right? There's like all this talk about sudden breaking news and Oscar nominated and stuff like that. I don't think those are contenders.
Okay. So More Spirit's at 12-1 right now.
So you're saying that if you're a veteran horse gambling, man, woman, whatever, you don't bet until like the last couple of minutes right before the race?
Yes, generally, right. Majesto, by the way, if you want, Majesto started today at 58-1. I don't know what he's been bet down to
he's
at the moment.
He's at 55-1 still.
There's your long shot.
Wow.
You want a long shot? Majesto.
There it is.
I'm all in on Majesto.
Go all in. All right. Well,
by the way, don't ever quote me on any of this after the race is over.
Unless,
we'll talk a year
unless you
from
get
now.
It right.
Well,
right. You get it right.
We exactly. already have people in upper management are going to erase this whole. It will not be. You won't be searchable.
We won't even be able to access it.
It's all gone, which I actually request after every show I do. Please just get rid of it. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, it's pretty much time for the Derby. We'll take a break. We got to hit the news, and then we'll see how the timing works out. But we might have a winner.
Oh, I hope so. I know there will be a winner
right.
at some point.
I hope it's one of our winners.
Yes, I know. I hope it's Majesto, actually, so that we can make people $110 on their $2 bet.
We will definitely bring that audio back then. If it
you
is.
Know what? If Majesto wins, I am coming back and sitting down here until midnight tonight.
We'll let you do it. All right. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here.
Thank you, Ro.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Chicago Derby Party at Howls and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll be right back. 720 WGM. All right, we're just minutes away from the Kentucky Derby. I just want to quickly summarize all of our guests, what they've said today, if you're still trying to get last-minute bets in. We had Rokan on just a minutes ago. He likes Exaggerator, Nyquist, and Mohayman. Those are the three horses that he really loves. And then we also had Doug Nachman earlier was on the show. He likes the 17-horse More Spirit as a long shot. I do, too. And Amy Guth also liked More Spirit. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I have the two-horse sudden breaking news, the four Motom, the five Gun Runner, the 11 Exaggerator, 13 Nyquist, 17 More Spirit, and I'm boxing all those horses up because Eddie O told me to. That's what I'm doing.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. We are at our Chicago Derby Party. The live broadcast from the Chicago Derby Party at Howells and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. The horses are heading towards the starting gate. I'm Mark Carmody. He is Adam Hoke. Thanks to Rokan for jumping on the last half hour with us. And we're all over the map here. But Majesto, 56-1, the 18 horse.
Look what I have.
What do you have? Why don't I have one? That is a Kentucky mule, a something-something. Marlene?
I believe they're calling it the Derby Mule.
The Derby Mule. Okay.
It was delivered to the table here.
Okay.
And we got the Derby Mule, the Double Row 7, and the Mint Julep, of course, here at Howells and Hood.
Mm-mm-mm.
These guys are doing a phenomenal job here, by the way.
They are.
Obviously, we're at post time, so you're probably not going to make it down here for the race, but I think this Derby party is going to roll on.
Well, we're going to be here till 7 o'clock, so there's that.
And we're going to be here till 7. Although I don't think we're the main attraction here, Mark.
Speak for yourself. I have enormous ego. I need to be considered the main attraction at all times.
Marlene is now digging something out of the drink.
No, Marlene is...
Or she's trying
She's taking a spoon and putting it in the drink because she's soft and won't just stick her lips on there and have a swig. You don't like it, Marlene? Marlene is saying no. Adam Hogue now trying the Kentucky Derby special. Let me get that over here. Come here.
It's good.
It's good.
I like it.
It's a thumbs upper. I'm going to go right at the straw. And
it has Tito's Handmade Vodka, mint, ginger beer, and lime in there. I definitely got the lime.
That's delicious.
I like it.
Full, refreshing. I actually made the mint julep this week. I learned how to do it.
Yeah.
Broke apart some mint leaves. 1-to-1 sugar to water, put it in the old, whatever that thing's called that we just held up, you know, one of those fancy.
Yeah, what do you call those? The gold, it's like a gold.
A goblet.
Something.
Something, something. A gullet.
My first mint julep was at the Kentucky Derby.
What do they call the thing that you spin the leaves with? You know, not a wooden spoon, upper level. There's a mallet. It's not a mallet. It's a gobbler. It's a something.
Yeah. Yeah,
a masher. I know somebody knows. 312-981-7200. You could text that to us. We'd really appreciate it so I could sound moderately intelligent about what I made this week. Can I tell you a story real quick while we're doing this?
Absolutely.
So, are you a sanitary guy?
No.
Okay.
Let me clarify. I wash my hands.
Okay.
But are you asking me if I'm, like, overly protective about...
As we just shared a drink?
Yeah, no, I will happily share a drink with you.
Okay, because this just reminded me of yesterday on the L.
Okay, God.
I'm riding.
Maybe the least sanitary place in the world.
Yes, perhaps. So I was downtown yesterday around WGN. I stopped by, get a little lunch at Whole Foods. I buy some peanuts, like an upper-level little bag of nuts to take to the Cub game. So I get on the L, I got my bag of nuts, right? I'm standing at the door. It's
like the kind you would buy inside the stadium?
Different kind.
Or like already shells are off.
Shells are off. More of a candy nut and like a cranberry in there. Just a whole different look.
Got it.
But it looked good. I was like, you know, I'm waiting in the line. These nuts are staring at me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going in. So I got my nuts, right? I'm standing on the L. Woman right next to me is just completely staring at the bag. She really wanted the nuts. It was like penetrating through. So I looked at her and I said, would you like to try my nuts? And she said, I'd love to. I love those. Or I love an almond or whatever she said. So now I'm like.
She loved the nuts.
I was anticipating that she would say no. Because who goes for someone's food on the L. But
hey, when you have your eye on something and you want it badly.
Yeah, so I was trying to be a nice guy. Said, would you like this? I was hoping she was going to say no. She says yes. So now I'm opening up the bag, and her hand goes all the way deep in the bag, all over every single nut in there. It was unbelievable. She pulls out like two nuts, and she eats the nut. And then I'm walking out of the L, going out of the game, and I'm like, am I still going to have these nuts that have been, I'm not I'm not a sanitary guy at all.
First of all.
But that was a bold move.
I'm assuming this was like a little bag, right?
It was,
what she should have done is put her hand out, like cupped her hand,
yes.
And then you could have poured the nuts into the hand.
Right. That's what I
could
have
done. That would be like what a...
professional nut-giving person on the L would do?
I apologize that we've broken into an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm here, but that is the...
I'm not apologizing.
That's your standard nut-eating, sharing way. That's how you would share some nuts.
Right.
You don't just stick the hand all the way into the bag.
Well, the other thing is, like, when you're sharing nuts, normally it's a shell. There's a whole thing going on. You're going to crack it open. Some people do eat the shell too. I'm not that guy. So, but this was, there was no shell here. It was straight at it. But then we got into a whole conversation. She was a very nice lady. I thought we, had a bonding moment. But
so did you eat the nuts?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. I crushed that bag.
All right.
I mean, I wouldn't want many people sticking their hand into a bag of the nuts that I just purchased, is how I'll put it at this moment, because it's, Saturday afternoon and not Saturday night. Like, Adam Phillips, love him dearly, fine engineer. I wouldn't want his hand in my...
In your nuts?
I wouldn't, no, absolutely not. Really, no one at WGN I would feel comfortable with, except for you, Adam, because we're, show partners and
We just shared that Derby mule.
Yeah, we did.
Which we did. Hey, can I tell you what I'm doing for the Derby here?
Please.
I shared this with the listeners a little while ago, but I think you were not here for a second. I am taking the two-horse, sudden breaking news.
You are?
The four-horse, Mo Tom. The five-horse, Gun Runner. The 11-horse, Exaggerator. The 13-horse, Nyquist. And the number 17-horse, More Spirit. I am taking those six horses and boxing them all together in an exacta. Okay? Do you know why I'm doing that?
Is there a real bet going on, or is this you just saying
you're... No, I'm really doing this. Okay. I placed the bet.
Oh, you placed the bet. Okay.
The bet has been placed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Way to make a wager.
Thank you. Did you make a wager?
No.
See, now, how bad are you going to feel if Majesto wins? By the way, it's Majesto. It's not Majesto.
I apologize to the Majesto family deeply from the bottom of my heart. Majesto, how bad am I going to feel bad?
But I 55 to 1. If that horse wins...
Right.
And if you had just put a dollar on them, you would have 55 more dollars. If you put $5 on them.
Right. $10, I'd have a
you'd
nice 550 hit.
275, did I just do that math correctly?
Yeah. Really, if you're going to make a nice bet, I mean, why not just throw a little $20 down on a Majesto, who used to be Majesto, but now has changed his name.
I
want to
bet on the horse that has, like, looks like a cow with the black spots accompanying More Spirit or whatever's going on right now. So that's what I'm doing. You know why I'm doing that?
No.
Because Eddie O told me to.
Oh, okay. On Twitter or directly right now?
Oh, no, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Those were his picks.
It's unbelievable.
Because here's the thing. Eddie O knows what he's talking about a lot more than I do. However, in my very amateur handicapping, which I do know how to read the DRF, as we learned from Kevin Powell, Daily Racing Form.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I told him that, so he learned from me. I do like Mo Tom. I do like Gun Runner. I do think Nyquist is going to be really hard to beat, and I do like More Spirit. So really all I did was throw in the 2 and the 11 into what I was already going to do because Edzo said so.
Now that should be a hashtag, because Edzo said so.
Because Edzo said so.
Hashtag because Edzo said so. It's incredible that somebody who knows as much about the game of hockey as Edzo knows, player, coach, broadcaster, has made himself a horse racing aficionado.
Yeah.
Like, how many people, seriously, have ever been an expert in two, and I'm not going to call horse racing a major sport, but call it in one of the major sports and a fringe sport. Like, no one has ever done that.
Well, and by the way, Eddie isn't the only one on NBC's broadcasts, horse racing broadcasts, who double dips in two different sports.
Who's the other?
Randy Moss, the analyst.
Yeah.
He is also one of NFL Network's reporters. You've also seen him on the NFL Network.
Well, right, but I'm talking about like an actual player. It's just it's an impressive thing that Edzo's done. Kevin Powell I'm getting very distracted here by the drinks that are flying around Howells and Hood.
Yeah, he just threw a drink at you.
Looks delicious. All right, so let's take a quick time out. Yeah. They're going to have the race. We're going to watch it. Sorry we can't bring you the play-by-play, but we'll tell you exactly
what happened.
Coming right back here on 720 WGN.
What in the why?
Chicago sports spoken here. This is the Beat.
All right, we have a Kentucky Derby winner, and it is Nyquist, the favorite. Got the perfect trip. Mark Harmon, I told you as he was going into the first turn, I told you the race was over.
You did.
I did tell you that.
You did. I'm standing here next to Adam. He just turned. It's over. Nyquist. I said, how do you know? And you just said, I'm Adam Hogue, I know.
Well, first of all, he got a perfect break out of the gate. Danzig Candy, who came all the way out of the 20, if you heard earlier our conversation.
Did get a great break.
Danzig Candy still managed to get out front. Nyquist was perfectly set right behind Danzig Candy. I told you right there's no way the 20 horse was going to hang on. And Nyquist, perfect trip. Came around the final turn, took off, went a nice, for a while, Gunrunner was running with him, but then fell off the pace. And then eventually, I believe it was Exaggerator, which was the second favorite, caught up and finished in second. So this one pretty much went to chalk.
And the question now becomes, can Nyquist continue this run at the Preakness and the Belmont? That's always the question, right? He's now 8-0 and headed for perhaps legendary greatness.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Preakness in a couple weeks. So far, you have to...
We're going to be back here at Howells and Hood for the Preakness?
We should be. I think so. I think so. I'm trying to figure out. So, Exaggerator came in second. Who? I think Gunrunner just barely did come in third. So, I hit the exacta. It won't pay out much because it's the two favorites.
Win's a win.
Had I done the try... Which I kind of lied. Edzo said to do the trifecta.
Yeah.
But that ticket would have been like $120.
Okay.
Instead of just the 30 I did.
So you came close.
So I went exacta. But he would. Eddie Olczyk hit his trifecta.
Not a bad day for Edzo.
Not a bad day for Edzo. Gunrunner is in fifth. Mohayman, who was Rose guy, came in fourth. And a Rose celebrating right now, so I think he may have maybe hit the superfecta.
Come here, Kevin Powell.
We'll have to figure out what happened.
Kevin Powell's the happiest guy in the
building.
Kevin Powell's the happiest guy in the building right now. We might as well find out. It's nothing better for me than to be jealous of somebody who won money, so let's do this.
Kevin Powell, if you're going to
I read that right. What was? Give me one more time before I freak out again.
Okay, the order of finish is Nyquist.
Okay.
Exaggerator, the 11.
You heard it here first, folks.
Gunrunner.
Okay. You had your.
All I need is the top two. What did I say? What did I say when you first had me on? I said I'm going exacta box, Nyquist, Exaggerator. Boom.
Do you realize that that's the easiest bet you could have made?
And I won money.
Okay. I'm just making sure you know
that.
Okay,
you're trying to downplay the fact that I just won.
I am. I hit it, too.
Okay,
it's not going to pay out that much, though. It's my point.
Whatever. How much is... I won. That's all that matters.
You're about W's.
When I threw out to Rokan and gave him that bet, he says there's about a 40% chance he'll win. I said, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Here's the cash. Place the bet.
By the way,
our
raffle here at Howells and Hood, which we'll do during a break for the people that did show up. But as we were promoting for our people, the winner comes now from the people who put their raffle tickets in Nyquist's jar.
I recommended not doing
and
that.
And you were said go for the long shots.
I have a ticket in there.
Good for you. I don't think you can win, but
why not?
Congratulations.
Oh, I was just donating it.
Look at how greedy this guy is. He already won his bet on the race. He won his bet on the race,
all right.
and now he wants more.
All right, guys. I'm going to go collect my money. You guys have fun finishing your show.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, again, the top four in the Kentucky Derby as you're out there driving around right now. Nyquist is your winner. Exaggerator came in second. That's the 13 and the 11. Gunrunner to the 5 horse in third. And Sudden – no, it was Mohaman came in fourth,
yeah,
right?
Mohaman. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
I think so. All right. It does matter for people who bet the Superfecta, dude. Come on, man.
My bad. Didn't realize that the fourth horse, man.
You're like, what's the Superfecta?
Yes, what is the Superfecta? Right. Absolutely.
We'll take a time. I'll be right back. It's the Beat here on 720 WGM.
I've seen people happy before, but the Rokan show right now is having a solid celebration. The Kentucky Derby in the books, 13-11-5, Nyquist, Exaggerator, Gunrunner, and if you were in the Superfecta, the 14 horse, which Rokan, you know who that was, do you?
Mohaman.
Mohaman. I actually gave you all of those.
You did,
when we
you?
Talked about, what was it, about 40 minutes ago.
I didn't listen.
You did. You should have listened.
I gave you all those. And so we hit the Rokan show, hit the Superfecta, Trifecta, and the Exacta.
Wow. Oh, my God. What a day.
And we had a very, very good day here. So it's, you know, Nyquist is a very, very special horse. And I think Nyquist has as good a chance as we have seen to get the Triple Crown as any horse. He ran a game race. He's got a really, really, really great jockey, too, who was able to, like, he came on the 13 hole, and he had to get to the rail. So within a furlong, it moved from the 13 hole out 13 wide to 3 wide.
Yeah, he was bolted.
So he got ahead of good sprint off the top. So he got ahead of all the traffic in front and back of him. And he was going to get all that dirt kicked in his face, which is really, really, really important.
And he still managed to get Dancing Candy out in front.
Well, Dancing Candy was always going to be the rabbit. Dancing Candy was, you know, heavy right. speed at the top, never going to be a real contender for the race.
But before he got to that first turn, I mean, it really set up perfectly with him being able to stalk in that spot. I said to, we're standing here watching, I said to Mark Carmen, I said, at first turn, you heard me. I said, Nyquist is going to win.
You did.
Yep. Well, and there's a term in racing, sit chilly, right? So when you get into the backstretch, these guys, they come up off the horse, and they let the horse just kind of breathe and run their race that they're comfortable with. And then they start directing them again as they come into that turn, and then the turn toward home. So that you know, that arc at the very left side of the track for people, it starts right as they make that turn, and then they're instructing the horse, the jocks are instructing the horse right on the final, the home stretch turn.
So let's play it forward. Do we have a potential?
I think we have. I mean, this is, listen, every Kentucky Derby winner becomes the story, right? That it's going to be what it's going to be.
He's been very dominant.
He's been great. He's been great. And he's run in all conditions, right? So this is a very, very special horse. Now, Big Brown was a very, very special horse. Orb was a very, very special horse. California Chrome was a very, very special horse. And they didn't win the Triple Crown. There was something extraordinary, I think, about American Pharoah. Because American Pharoah's head was right. Everybody in the industry was talking about it at the time. That American Pharoah took instruction on a lot of different levels. And they saw that horse move in different ways in races. People who know far more, because it's a very complicated thing, people far more than I were telling me that that horse had something very, very special. And not just ability, because it's physical ability and wind and all that, like any kind of athlete would have. But right. there's also knowing how to win. And Pharoah did exactly that. And we'll see. I mean, the Preakness will be a very, very interesting test.
Also, I mean, would you call this a perfect trip today for Nyquist?
Great trip. So I wouldn't say perfect, but great trip. Well, I mean, from the jock's perspective, you know, and this is the second time that jock's won the Derby, and he's this is a young guy who's very chilly in the seat. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Mario Gutierrez. Right?
Yes, he is a guy that he's calm from the very beginning. He's an assassin, is what I would call him, a sniper. He's a guy that knows the game very well. He sized up the competition. He knew he had a little bit of a disadvantage coming out that wide, 13 horses wide to start. I mean, it's not as bad as being 16 or 18 or 20 out, but it's still, you know, you'd rather be in that sweet center. You'd rather be at 6, 7, 8. And he found a way, and he got a little bit of luck because he was getting bumped in the first, you know, literally the first 100 yards. There was a lot of traffic, and he was able to smooth his horse right through that traffic.
So the payout here, are we surprised by the numbers? It seems like a lot of people had at least the 13 and the 11. But it seems like it was a decent payday.
That was a pretty good payday, actually. Kevin Powell played the exacta.
Did you tell him to do that?
No.
He did it all on his own.
No, it paid 13, I think, on the exacta. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, I had
or
the
15 on the exacta.
Yeah, I had the exacta, but I only had a dollar.
Right. So
Kevin had a lot more.
Right, so you had $7 on the dollar, right? $7.50, something like that. So this race is over. We look forward to Baltimore, and then we look forward to New York City.
And you've never been to the Derby.
I've been to Churchill. I've never been to the Derby.
Oh, okay, you've been to Churchill, but not the Derby.
Right.
And Preakness?
Yes.
Okay. And then the Belmont?
Yes.
He was there last year.
And so if you – okay, right. And you were on the show last year, right? If you could only go to one, if somebody had one ticket to go to any of the three.
Oh, the Belmont, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, because the Belmont, no matter what happens, you're in New York. But more importantly, that would be the moment, as long as it's, you know, a consequential race.
Right, okay.
Why haven't you been to the Derby?
You know, I just sort of dumb luck, but also now being in the business as an active owner with my own money and thinking about this and worrying about this, I only kind of want to go if I'm connected.
Okay. Makes sense. I had my bachelor party there a few years ago. That was the year it was rainy and 50 degrees the whole time. It was miserable.
It can be. It's very crowded. I mean, if you're in the infield especially, it can be a very arduous thing. And there's such great racing that you can see here. I mean, I think the reality of this is you can go to Arlington and have an amazing day the same day as the Derby. And you're in a beautiful facility. You're unhassled. You can bet exactly the same way and really enjoy yourself. Or you can go down there and be just in a total mess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth doing. Check it off the bucket list. But you're right. I mean, Arlington is a great place to be. And for all the reasons you just listed on Derby Day, which I've done that plenty of times.
Right.
Well, congratulations to
Thank you.
Good
your
job,
entire
bro.
Show.
And congratulations to anybody who took our betting information in those last few minutes because they made some money there.
Absolutely.
How about that? Right here, getting value.
Value. That's right, Carm. Value.
Value.
Now, Richard Roper, who is sitting here with us, a regular on our show and also a fellow degenerate as am I, he unfortunately...
He didn't listen?
He listened. He hit the super, but he ended up spending more on the super than he got for the super.
How does that work?
Wow.
Oh, it happens all the time.
You box too many horses in. And
okay.
Essentially, it's the same thing that just happened to me with the exacta.
Okay.
Because I had six horses boxed in, and the smallest payout ended up coming out.
Right.
So I ended up losing money on it.
Right.
But you were right there.
Even though I got it right.
Yeah. Well, you got it right because you bet half the field.
Exactly.
A third of the field.
Exactly. That's how you
right,
do.
Okay.
And that's why horse racing is what it is.
Okay.
All right, Ro, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys have done great out here today, and thank
Appreciate
you for being
it.
Here.
Appreciate it. So I have a lot of fun out here at Howells and Hood, and this was the greatest 2 minutes in sports, and we're still broadcasting live from the Chicago Derby Party at Howells and Hood, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, where you can try a double row 7. We're here till 7 o'clock, so plenty of time to still come out and enjoy. The party's still going, and we're having a blast. It's The Beat on 720 WGN.
We move!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Back here at Howells and Hood, The Beat, 720 WGN. Party's still rolling. I hope everyone out here wants the money on the Derby. just gave away our raffle prizes as well. And hey, Mark Carmen, if you'd like to rejoin our show,
I was dealing with a very passionate listener.
Yeah.
She was wondering if she had won. I was trying to explain that sometimes you're a winner even when you don't win. And
is that how you're trying to cushion the blow?
Yes.
Okay.
I was explaining that every number that you did call came up and claimed their prize. So unfortunately, this beautiful woman here has come up short in her quest to take home. But you're still a winner, and the future is bright for you. This one's done though. Good effort. Yep.
All right.
You okay over here, Adam?
I'm okay. See? I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm still myself trying to see. I would be the perfect example of being a winner when I still lose, because
right.
I won the exacta.
Yes.
But I lost overall
right.
money, so I would be the perfect example of that.
You have been professional.
Thank you.
And
I don't know if that's what I was talking about, but I appreciate you using the P word on me.
Well, I'm a little confused as to what just happened.
With that lady?
I'm getting recalibrated. People,
are you worried about your life at all?
No, okay. No. I've been doing a lot of yoga lately. I'm very tough. I could take on all comers, even 5'3" physical. Perhaps.
Hey, are we allowed to talk baseball now, or we still can't because the Cubs are still playing?
I mean, they're in the bottom of the eighth. Cubs 7, Nationals 5. We'll probably have
And the White Sox are underway, too, the other team in town that you just refused to acknowledge exists.
White Sox are underway. We actually do have there's a couple things going on as far as the NBA playoffs tonight.
Who cares?
Well, I think people do care that Steph Curry is still not playing.
No, that is
That's of minor note.
Okay.
Yes. So Golden State and Portland play tonight, 7:30 Central Time.
There were some stories, now that the Derby is over, that I did want to get to.
Yes.
I know we both have some thoughts about Chris Webber. I think we'll save that for our next segment, maybe.
Right after the 6:30 news, we'll get into there was. If you missed the audio earlier in the week, there was a spectacular game.
How I blew up the NBA Twitter world?
Yes. It was game 2, Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
Hey, can I ask you a question, by the way? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
That game was Monday night.
Okay.
Okay.
Seems like yesterday.
Why was the next game last night? Why did they take 3 days off?
NBA playoffs.
They never end. It's unbelievable.
They do that all the time. And for me, like, on one level, you want to see the players healthy and playing at the top of their game, right? The other hand, it's such a huge advantage to teams that get rest versus others that don't. And sometimes, like, teams don't even earn the rest. Like, in this scenario, why are they waiting 4 days to play? It's only because it's all for TV,
well,
right?
Well, first of all, I know this is going to sound like Mr. Hockey Guy here, but wow. These guys play every other night, and they're playing a much more physical sport.
I'm not arguing with you.
So, I don't want to really hear about that, but I do understand the injuries happen. Meanwhile, though, you know I'm not Mr. NBA. But let me give you a perfect example of why this is dumb that the NBA does this. So, as you're about to get into, I was watching this game Monday night between the Spurs and the Thunder, and it had a very controversial ending where Deion Waiters, was it?
Yes.
Just elbowed.
He was inbounding
Manu Ginobili.
He was inbounding the basketball at center court with about 13 seconds to go. Manu Ginobili was all over him. And
he just elbowed him out of bounds, which you cannot do.
Yeah, about 4 seconds into the five count, he elbowed him off, leaped in the air, and threw a wild pass, which, by the way, the Spurs intercepted. And had a 3-on-1, then 3-on-2 break that they did not convert.
Well, there's a lot to get to in this play. But first off, just the fact that I'm watching this, you're probably proud of me.
I am.
And I got excited about it. And in my head, I'm going, oh, I wonder when game 3 is.
It's been a little
while. I'll watch game 3. And then you know what happened by Friday when game 3 came around?
You didn't care anymore?
Didn't care anymore. The buzz wore off. So if you're the NBA... And let me revise, because I was not immediately aware on Monday night that the next game wasn't until Friday. So Wednesday afternoon, I actually checked, and I go, oh, I bet you game 3 is tonight because it's been 2 days, which is what And I checked, and I'm like, is this right? They don't play until Friday night?
If you listen, I will go and make a call to Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, and I'll point out that Adam Hogue, a casual NBA fan.
The fan you should be targeting.
The fan that you want more of.
Grew up in the 90s with the Bulls in Chicago, loved the NBA, doesn't care about it anymore very much.
Right, but is now
willing to give it a try. Your stupid scheduling ruined it.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I'm willing to make this call for you.
Thank you. You have Adam Silver's number? That's impressive.
I don't necessarily have his number, but maybe I could work my way there after a couple of calls.
Okay.
It's a one-step process. I'll call my guy Tibbs up in Minnesota, see how he's doing, and then we'll go from there. We'll get there eventually.
Okay. As this is all happening, and as you said, there is blatant, everyone's mad because this foul wasn't called. All I did was point out the fact that Manu Ginobili stepped out of bounds.
You took a picture of it.
I took a picture of it. My TV. I took a picture because no one wanted to talk about the fact that Manu Ginobili also committed a violation by crossing. By the way, you don't even have to step on the line. All you have to do is reach over the line, the plane of the line, and that is a delay game. Which, by the way, according to NBA rules, under 2 minutes in a game is a technical foul. Not just a delay game, but a technical foul. The Thunder would have been shooting free throws. So while everyone was mad that they didn't call this foul on Waiters, which was a foul, I'm not trying to say it wasn't. You can't blatantly elbow somebody from out of bounds or anywhere, frankly.
I've never seen that before.
Well, the officials said they had never seen it before.
Right, which is why it wasn't called. They were so not looking for that in the moment.
I pointed out it wasn't the only thing. I've never had Twitter blow up like that before. It exposed me to a whole new NBA world on Twitter that I've never seen before, and frankly, never want to see again.
You didn't like your basketball fans coming at you? I think it's cool.
Well, and then I got attacked by Krista Flores a couple days later, and inside. Good old WGN, because she's the biggest Spurs fan in the world, and she's...
Oh, she was upset?
It came across her Twitter. She doesn't even follow me on Twitter. It came across her Spurs-loving Twitter world, and she didn't like the fact that I tweeted out just a fact that happened.
Well, Krista tends to have a little bit of a bias towards the San Antonio Spurs, just a drop.
Just a little bit.
So I'm not surprised that she reacted that way.
Yeah.
But I thought it was phenomenal that you pointed it out. And you got retweeted over 2,000 times.
3,000.
Over 3,000 times.
3,000.
How many followers did you get?
I'm not trying to brag about this because I didn't like it. I'm still this morning getting retweets on that thing. And it is annoying when then some Spurs fan that's all upset that all I do is tweet out something that literally happened. It's not debatable. Actually, there was one guy that was still trying to argue that when you step on the line, remember I told you this the other day? Some guy is still coming at me saying stepping on the line is not the same as going over the line.
That's the beauty of social media, because somebody will take that stance.
Which might be the greatest tweet I've ever seen in my life, by the way. I actually retweeted it because I just loved it so much.
Seeing that, how many followers did you gain?
I don't know. I don't think a lot. I don't think it was the type of deal where people were like, oh, I'm going to go follow this guy now. I mean, all there is Chicago Bears and baseball on my Twitter feed. Not San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, but once you get into a massive retweet, people want to just jump on your bandwagon. You should have gotten at least a 250 boost. Come on.
3,538 retweets, 2,034 likes.
That's a big day for you.
I also retweeted Mark Cuban and told him that his understanding of the rule was not correct. I don't think Mark Cuban appreciated
that. Did
he
write you back?
No, he didn't. He ignored me.
You went at Mark Cuban on social media? Is that professional?
Mark Cuban said that it's only a delay game if you reach over and touch the ball, which is not the rule. This is not the rule. It's wrong.
Why would Mark Cuban even get involved in that?
Mark Cuban's Mark Cuban.
Last time I checked, the Mavericks were out of the playoffs.
We'll take a break, but you have to hear Chris Webber, his live analysis as this chaos is playing out on Monday night.
A window into the soul of C. Webber.
A lot was going on there. We got to break it down. It's the Beat on 720 WGN.
This is my kingdom come. This is now back to the Beat.
720 WGN.
So we're coming back from a break there, and my father walks up to me and just tells me that Chris Sale walked in a run and then hit the next batter. That wasn't very nice of him to do right as we were coming back out of a break, because now I'm angry for this segment.
Well, you're going to have to control your emotions. That's part of being a professional broadcaster. I'm using that P word again. Cubs, by the way, are about to close out the Nationals 8-5 in the ninth, now two outs. So we'll have a little bit of a brief Cubs post. Do you know, Adam?
And Jake Arrieta's pitching tomorrow.
And Adam?
Yes.
There is some good news.
Okay.
The Sox now have the bases loaded.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why David Jennings is here, to bring my level of excitement back to where it should be about this first place Chicago White Sox baseball team.
That's a good job by David Jennings, as per usual.
So take a deep breath.
Okay. Thank
relax.
You.
Relax.
Thank you.
Relax.
Thank you. Thank
for,
you.
For my NBA fans out there, Toronto leads Miami 91-88, 24 seconds to go. Cubs are over.
It's over. 8-5.
Cubs are a winner over the Washington
They're
Nationals.
They're going to sweep the Nationals. They're going to sweep the week. They haven't lost all week.
Yeah, they played the two best teams in the National League this week. They go to Pittsburgh on their whatever wild trip they called it for Joe Maddon, the dress-up trip, whatever it is. They sweep the Pirates. Yep. And now they're Jake Arrieta 7-0 start away from sweeping the Nationals. The Chicago Cubs
are the greatest team of all time.
Are 23-6. Now I just did the math here. 23 divided by 29, multiply that by 162. That will get you, if they keep on this pace, how many wins the Cubs will have. They came into today on a 127 win pace. They are now on a 129 win pace.
Okay.
I got a question for you, too.
Yes.
Did you see, there is something for one of the ESPN shows, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's a little game they play where one guy will read stats and the other two guys can't show any facial expression over them? They did it with Jake Arrieta. And some of the stats they were laying out about where he's at are just staggering.
Yeah, his numbers are incredible.
It's like he hasn't given up. The Cubs have scored more runs this season than he's given up in the last calendar year or something along those lines. I mean, it's just the man is like Superman. It's amazing.
He's having the best stretch in the history of baseball right now. That is what he's in the middle of. And he's 6-0, and there's no sign whatsoever that he's going to stop. He's given up the random run, the random pitch up in the zone that gets whacked for a double. But really, I mean, I don't know what he's going to finish at, but he's 6-0.
Yeah.
Could he win 25 games?
It's
not out of the question.
No, it's not. If he and this isn't Chris Sale 6-0 too?
Yes, but he doesn't have the offense behind him.
He's also playing the Twins today. For whatever reason, the Minnesota Twins have his number. He's like the one team he can't beat.
It's 2-0 Minnesota early going here.
Should we get to that Chris Webber audio we were talking about?
I'm so into the Cubs right now, but yes, let's play Webber.
The look on your face when I just said that. We did tease it pretty hard. And we did.
Here's what
Chris Webber said Monday night as chaos is unfolding in San Antonio.
Let's get a good meltdown.
This is Chris Webber.
That was an offensive foul by OKC on San Antonio. Ginobili, the coaches, the team, everyone is upset. That was an offensive foul, a blatant offensive foul. It was an offensive foul, and if I'm Ginobili, if I'm the Spurs, I am upset too. It was there for everyone to view it, wide open. That was an offensive foul.
Patty Mills attempting that three-pointer from the corner.
The game is over, and Coach Popovich is at the scoreboard table because it is an offensive foul. Look at this. He's out of bounds. You can't push somebody from out of bounds. I've never seen that before.
And then Green with the steal.
But it was an offensive foul. It doesn't matter. They're supposed to have the ball. The rest of this play does not matter. It was an offensive foul. The rest of that 5 seconds does not matter. Terrible.
So where do you want to start here, Mark?
Oh.
How about we start with that last part there?
That's fine.
Which was where he said the rest of the play doesn't matter. In that case, Ginobili being up in the grill of Dion Waiters in a delay of game that should have been a technical foul, then the offensive foul that he's so mad about didn't matter. am I right from that logic?
You are. And the biggest thing to me is, look, the Spurs had a 3-on-1. If you told them, hey, yeah, Deion Waiters is going to push up, but they're not going to call it, but you're going to get the ball.
3-on-1.
3-on-1. Will you take this scenario? And by the way, included in that scenario would be that if you want to call timeout, you can. Yeah. You can go.
Which you shouldn't on a 3-on-1.
No, you shouldn't. But
they completely botched the 3-on-1. To me, out of everything that happened on that play, that was the biggest screw-up. That the Spurs had a 3-on-1 and didn't even get off a good shot. It ended up in what's-his-name's hands, and Patty Mills is in the corner, and he airballs it.
Well, okay. Manu drove down the lane. He had a little 7-8-foot floater he could have flipped up. Chose to throw a ridiculous
behind the back,
over his head, around the whatever you want to call it, pass to the corner and Patty Mills. Patty Mills is playing like the Spurs are down 3. He's got the ball with roughly three, four seconds to go. He shoots this 3. He could easily up fake, stepped right by, I believe it was Steven Adams who was coming out at him, and he could have shot it a wide open 2 for the win, yeah, and that ball's going in 90% of the time. So, I mean, they were un-Spur-like. But it doesn't matter. Spurs are the better team. It's a bad matchup for Oklahoma City. And I love Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, top five players in the game. They can't play together. Cannot play together. It's a you-go-I-go situation. And you-go-I-go, it just rarely works. Somebody's got to step back, and both those guys. And Russell steps back to a point, but it just does not work. And everybody else on the other side of the NBA, they want to see Miami play Cleveland, or LeBron's talking about wanting to see that. He's never played Dwayne Wade in the finals, or in the Eastern, in the playoffs rather, before, and they both came into the league the same year in 2003. Toronto's the better team. Toronto's going to win that series. And I really, like, on some level, I just like Cleveland fans. Seeing LeBron chum up with D. Wade the whole entire Western Conference Finals, something about that would bother me. Like, those guys, it's like a 10-point game in the regular season. The Cavs are down. They come out of halftime, and LeBron's just sitting there laughing it up with D-Wade. Like, you left to be in Miami, yeah, to play with this guy. You killed the city. They were burning your jersey. Can you at least be buddies with him off the court, like in the tunnel? Yeah. Not just, you know, we're best of – it's just bizarre to me. So I'd rather see the better matchup, which would be the Raptors. And I'd rather, you know, see some – I like to see a little actual hate on my NBA court.
I just want to see Warriors, Spurs, and Steph back and healthy.
Well, me too, but the Cleveland Cavaliers haven't lost a game in the final, in the playoffs yet.
Yeah.
And they're killing teams. They rolled through Detroit, and they're rolling through Atlanta, and neither of those are good teams. But people are counting out the Cavs. They didn't have Kyrie last year. They didn't have Kevin Love last year.
I wouldn't count them out.
That's going to be a great series.
All right.
Apparently at the Cubs game today, the Seagulls had a big play in it.
Big play? Big play, Seagull?
The Seagulls were in right field when Addison Russell lifted a little fly ball down the right field line. Bryce Harper came over. There were like 10 to 15 birds there. And for whatever reason, Harper either got distracted by the birds or the wall. Somehow the ball fell. And another play and another Cub win, 8-5, 23-6. Adam Warren got the win. He's 3-0.
23-6.
23-6!
Yeah. Meanwhile, I can't find the other team in town in this room right now. Just wanted to point that out there.
It's amazing that nobody in here has gone up to a bartender and said, can you get the White Sox out?
Yeah.
That happens all the time, though. People just don't know what's on. Their lives are very busy.
I think my family has it covered over there.
Okay.
That's what I'm
Richard Hogue
in my ear right now.
You would think Richard Hogue would, your dad would get involved.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a time. I'll come back. Finally, I think we have Mark Harmon's permission now that the Cubs game is over to talk about baseball. So we'll do that.
That seems unfair.
I think our show just came full circle. It's The Beat on 720 WGN. Our live broadcast from the Chicago Derby party at Howells and Hood is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We've had a lot of fun out here today. Kevin Powell is now booing us. This is the respect. First of all, we gave this guy a lot of props for winning his derby bet.
We've been nothing but great to Kevin Powell.
We put him back on the air after he wins to brag about it.
We've looked out for Kevin Powell.
And now he's booing us.
It's not nice. That's okay, though. We'll recover. Can I talk about a new reality, Adam?
By the way, you drank my entire drink.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I,
you did.
I had half your drink. I only had half.
Over 50% of the drink.
But how? Why was that your drink? Did they bring that drink to the table?
After I asked for it.
I didn't know you
the
asked
Derby
for it.
Derby Mule.
Oh, okay.
With Tito's Handmade Vodka. It's very good.
The way we can go have another one after the show.
I got another one. It's just sitting a lot farther away from you.
Oh, okay. It's in a different glass. I didn't realize that was yours. Great job. So this is mine now fully.
You already drank all of it.
You're done with that? Well, no, there's still some liquid.
Melted ice.
Okay, so let me just say this. Because I think a lot of Cub fans are feeling like this, and I know you can relate as well, being a World Series champion on the South Side 2005. This is a new reality where you really, and correct me if I'm wrong, Cub fans, 312-981-7200, we got 5 minutes left in the show. You really don't feel like they're going to fall apart.
Oh, no.
Like, it just does not feel at all Cub-like. The other shoe's not going to drop. Now, they might not win the whole thing.
I think we're at the point where they better.
Oh, we are.
Barring some kind of catastrophic injury, which we've already seen one this year.
Right. No, we're at most definitely at that point. Anything but a World Series championship is a disappointment. But it's the baseball playoffs, and anything can happen. So we'll see. But I don't like, you know, when they would get off to a good start before, you were waiting, when's the June swoon coming? When's the this? When's the that? It does not feel like that right now. I mean, they go out every day and they just win. And it's almost boring. I'm not saying it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, Rokon show departing. Great job, Jeff. See you, Kevin. So.
This guy.
I just don't think it's going away. I think they're going to win 100 plus games.
No, I think you should.
I mean, right?
Like, well, you gave the number 129 is what they're on pace for. That's probably not happening.
Maybe not, but you know, the most ever is 116.
At this rate, they probably should win 100. I mean, they won 97 last year. 100 is more than reasonable right now.
If they go 500 the rest of the season,
they're going to be over 100.
I mean, they're 23-6. They're at 17, so just round it up one game. They go 500 the rest of the way, they win 90.
Oh, okay.
That's 18 over, yeah. Right?
Now, on the other side of town, it feels a little different, I think. When I look at the White Sox, I still think they need one more pitcher, one more decent starter. Decent, I mean a guy that can give you a quality start maybe every other time out. John Danks wasn't doing.
Which that was an interesting part of the week, right? We haven't really touched on that at all, the John Danks.
Well, we weren't allowed to talk about it.
That's unfair. Again, if you missed the start of the show, I sent Adam Hogan text apparently early in the week. I don't even remember doing this, saying that
it was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah, that's not.
Well,
no,
you said we couldn't talk baseball till 6 o'clock because we were going up against the Cubs.
Yeah,
completely ignoring the fact that the White Sox didn't start until 6 o'clock.
Right.
So we've been having fun with that on the show today.
Yeah, I apologize. But
you still took it literally because we haven't even mentioned the John Danks story until there's 4 minutes left in the show.
I'm going to be at – you could have mentioned it.
I could have. But it's more fun if I blame it on you.
Even in celebration, you could have mentioned it. Great guy.
Was not pitching well anymore. Had to go.
It's amazing that – remember the story in spring training? Do you remember what the narrative on John Danks was?
What was it? Because I saw his first start there, and my narrative was he shouldn't make the team.
It was that they figured out that he was tipping his pitches.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that
DeAndre Navarro, who's killed him in the past.
Yeah. Apparently that was not the case.
Hey, dude, you're tipping your pitch.
Oh, my God, he's tipping his pitches. That's the problem. He's going to be fine.
He came back, pitched two good starts, and then disaster since.
Yeah. So it wasn't the tipping his pitches.
For a team as good as the White Sox are, they had to make a move. The question is now, I don't think they have the replacement. And meanwhile, I think Matt Latos is starting to come back to earth. So now they have two great starters, one up-and-coming okay starter in Carlos Rodon. I'd like to see him pitch even better. And then Matt Latos, probably I don't think you can rely on him the rest of the year. And then now fifth starter is a complete toss-up with minor leaguers. I'd like to see Jacob Turner, who was with the Cubs last year, get a shot. But he never stays healthy. So they're going to have to acquire. My point is, they're going to have to go out and get another starter. I don't think the Cubs need to do that. although they might at some point. It's a long season. And I also think they need to add another bat.
The good thing for the White Sox, you look at the division right now, it ain't the runaway Royals anymore. Detroit is far from a powerhouse. People thought Cleveland were going to be better. Hasn't happened. And the Twins are awful. So I think you got to feel pretty good about where you sit in the Central, right?
Yes. But when I say they need to add a bat and one more pitcher, I'm talking about to contend for the World Series, not just make the playoffs.
Okay, that's a huge leap, but yes.
Well, that's the point. That's the conversation we're having right now. Cubs, for real. There's very little question about it. Are the White Sox for real?
Not yet.
Not yet, but they think they could be. We'll see.
And they have pieces to deal Tim Anderson if they want to do something along those lines, which, you know, that would be a big piece to give up. That's their shortstop of the future. So we'll see what they do if they hang around.
Can we take a break and find out if Amy Guth won anything on the race?
Yes, we can.
720 WGM. Well, thanks to Howells and Hood, Tito's Handmade Vodka, One Step Camp from Children's Oncology. Really a great derby party here today.
What a great time today. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And thanks to the Rokan Show for stopping by.
And thanks to your
Doug Knackman.
Doug Knackman.
Who else do we have?
We had 4 o'clock. We had
Todd Furman. And we also had Amy Guth on earlier.
Amy Guth was on earlier. Judy Pilak was on earlier. Yeah. Kevin Powell was on earlier.
All the cool kids.
That's right.
No one as cool as you, Amy.
Thank you.
Did we get a winner, Amy?
No. My picks did not quite go as planned. You know what? It was so interesting to watch Gunrunner because that was a horse that was really, really not on my radar. It was just not a horse that got a lot of chatter leading up to the Derby. So everybody was so busy worrying about other horses, and there we were at the 11th hour kind of looking at what the weather was doing and how those horses perform in mud and in rain and things like that. And yet, still, Gunrunner was just not on anybody's radar. So, you know, kudos to that horse.
Well, he was on my radar. I had him in my Exacta box.
Yeah,
and
good
I was,
for you.
I, down the stretch, I was rooting for him to hold off Exaggerator because it would have paid off more. I hit the Exacta today but lost money problem.
That'll happen sometimes when you start doing like a complex bet.
That's what I did.
You'll win but not. But that's okay. It's all fun, and it's the most, as they say, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
It was, and thanks for coming on earlier and talking about it with us. What do you have coming up on your show tonight?
You know, tonight we're going to be talking about cultural blind spots, all about the movies and the books and the albums and the bands that are just kind of not on your radar, either on purpose. Because
Like Gunrunner.
It's perfect. It's a perfect segue there. It's like I got Gunrunner to do that. You know, that it's just not on your radar, either that you, tried to get on board with and you just weren't feeling it, or just you never got around to watching that movie and you're kind of embarrassed to admit it now. So we're going to be talking about that tonight.
It's an awesome show.
We're looking forward to it. Amy will be listening.